Andy in Kansas. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. We like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed, that is what we do. Dan?
Yes.
Dan, is there a hook to this podcast?
There is, and it's that I know a lot about Alex Jones.
And I don't know anything about Alex
there
Jones.
There we find our fun. Hello. Welcome back. I bid you hello.
our intro is set. And then it's the getting out of the pre bit where
yeah,
like,
yeah, it's impossible.
Hi. Mm-hmm. How have you been?
So I don't know. I'm just trying to vamp
Mix
a little
up.
Bit while I looked up the names of the people I need to give a shout out to because I forgot to do that pre-show.
You got to signal me whenever I need to vamp. I have shit to say.
What kind of signal could I give you? The high sign?
Point at me. Give me like an old-timey like 5, 4.
Something I'd like to stretch out a little bit is giving a shout out to our new donors. this gentleman was a donor and he bumped it up and I really appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
So congratulations on becoming a foreign policy wonk, Miles.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it very much, Miles.
Oh yeah. Always reminds me of the Zach Galifianakis joke that is way older than that, which is like, do you think in Canada, Miles Davis is called Kilometers Davis?
It's not a bad joke.
Such an old, lame joke, and I love it.
It's good. It's fun. Yeah. Something else that's fun is another new donor. This is a new one, and I feel very self-conscious off the top, because I think the name is Shannon, but the spelling makes me think it might be Shanine. It's S-H-A-N-I-N, but either way, Shannon, whatever, however we pronounce it, I apologize that I don't know for sure, but we do appreciate you joining up with the show.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations.
To be determined.
On becoming a policy wonk.
From now on, not from now on, and this isn't something that I think is a rule that we should have, but instead of signing your name or writing your name down, send in an audio clip of you pronouncing your name correctly.
To be fair, if it's Shannon, that's completely phonetic.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I'm the one who's wrong here.
Well, I mean, who knows?
So if you'd like to become a policy wonk and support the show, you can do so by going to knowledgefight.com, clicking the support the show button, and we would really appreciate it. Everyone who has donated has created a situation wherein we must now do a full-length documentary commentary track of Alex Jones's terrible documentary Endgame, which we will be doing and releasing shortly.
Yes.
You were working this weekend at a club.
Yeah.
And so we were not able to get together and make it happen this weekend. But next weekend, we will be recording it and I believe releasing it over the course of the next week. So if we look at a calendar, that'll be the 19th. It looks like the 19th will be when the documentary starts dropping.
Oh, okay.
So
that means that we'll be spending all of daylight one day
most
doing
likely.
This entire thing.
Unless we
how
get
long,
up at 6.
How long is the sun?
These days, not that long.
Not that long?
No, not in the winter of Chicago. So
I feel so – sometimes I feel so stupid because I'm like, wait – are the days getting shorter or longer right now? Is the summer solstice when it gets shorter or longer?
Equinox.
Is that not
Equinox.
Even a, what is the summer solstice,
I don't
Dan?
Know. It's a very fun time for us to go and gallivant around with and celebrate the trees and the wonderful fawns.
Right, right, right. Is it Stonehenge?
Yes,
I don't know.
It is.
Let's call it Stonehenge.
Something else we celebrate around summer solstice is the passage of time. This is a much better transition than you think.
That's a great transition.
It's even better than you know.
Okay.
So one of the things, we from time to time get people who donate on the time traveler level. And
oh shit, are we time traveling?
We are time traveling.
Fuck yes.
We got a new one recently.
Behind Project Camelot time travel, my favorite thing.
It's pretty good. This one's very weird. We got a request for a time travel episode just the other day, and it jogged my memory that we had one from October that we forgot to do.
That sounds right.
So this one is a time travel episode.
I like
episode.
How you say we, as though I had any input on it.
Well, we had a conversation about it, because I went back and I told you I needed to do a little bit more research into some stuff.
Oh, okay.
And then I kind of just forgot,
right.
Because Alex got drunk and we had to do that episode, and, you know. The present is such a hot mess that it's like, what are we going to do?
That's such a perfect issue with our show is like, we were going to do something, but then Alex got drunk. So there we go.
Our show is basically Afro Man.
Yeah.
But with, I was going to do this, then Alex got drunk.
Right.
I was going to do this time travel episode, but Alex got drunk.
All right.
That song was huge.
That's the, I cannot believe you.
That song was so big, man.
It's hard to
terrible,
imagine.
But it was so
hard
big.
To imagine.
So this time travel episode is going out to Policy Wonk Jesse. We really appreciate you supporting the show. And Jesse requested is that we go back to their birthday, which is March 3rd of any year. And so I went back.
Alex Jones's birthday.
No, Jesse's
birthday. Oh, Jesse's birthday. Oh, that's very sweet. I'm excited about that.
And so I went back to a couple March 3rds, and I found almost nothing to be excited about.
Right.
And then I listened to March 3rd, 2015, and I found some high weirdness. Not high strangeness, because that's aliens and shit.
Right,
but
right.
I found
right.
some very high-level weirdness on Alex's part. And I'm excited to break down some of it. And here is a clip, out of context drop, for you to enjoy from this episode.
The Bible's really wild. And if it's science fiction, how come so much of it keeps coming true?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. I also slightly take issue with the idea that it's science fiction.
I think every part of that sentence is wrong. I think every single part of that sentence is wrong.
Really? Okay, break it down.
Okay.
You don't think the Bible's wild?
The Bible is not wild.
It's very wild.
I would describe it as tragic. I think the Bible is more tragic than wild.
It's tragically wild.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Wildly
not,
tragic.
Not science fiction.
No, because we know.
Because it's against science.
And science fiction is just the dreams of men. We
That's
know that.
True. That's true.
And it's not coming true.
It's not coming true at all.
Well, I mean, very bizarre interpretations of it, possibly.
Right.
So, Jordan, to fill you in, just to give you a little breakdown on what's going to happen on this here show.
Okay.
March 3rd, 2015 was the day that Benjamin Netanyahu came and spoke to Congress.
Oh. Whoa, that's right. He did that. Why? Why are we still angry about that?
Well, to be fair, Alex actually hits it on the nail right on the head in the middle of this episode. We'll hear him say this, and he's totally correct that it's a power play
because
Benjamin Netanyahu was running for re-election.
Right.
And it was just sort of a flexing of power coming over here in consolidation with various. He
and
says that in passing. And
talking
then says,
to Obama.
Well,
like,
Obama
it was
not into that.
Right.
He didn't want to get involved.
No.
Which Alex also has some weird feelings about, but
we all have weird feelings about apartheid. However, I think Alex is probably on the wrong side.
You know what? I don't know what side he's on, quite frankly.
That's right. That's right. He hates Jewish people, and at the same time, he loves right-wing people.
Well, we're gonna get
very difficult for him to deal with.
We're gonna get into something that's really interesting. That is like different versions of anti-Semitism are gonna come up because there is like ethnic anti-Semitism and political anti-Semitism that are kind of not always related. There is the version of like I hate the Jewish people, and that comes out through like blood libel stuff,
right.
You know, trying to exterminate the Jews, a la the Nazis. And then you have political anti-Semitism, which comes in the form of like being opposed to Zionism and that sort of stuff. And there's a very weird division between those two. And I'm not sure I can fully explain all of it to you, but turns out Alex is kind of guilty of both.
If there is a way to be anti-Semitic, Alex will find it.
Mm-hmm.
Alex is some ways his most admirable quality.
He is the dinosaurs of Jurassic Park in terms of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, life finds
Alex
a way.
Alex will find a way. but here's the thing. I've listened to this episode twice and a half now, probably, cutting the clips and everything. And I don't fully understand where Alex is coming from. I don't think he understands what he's saying because he's been put into a really uncomfortable position. Because he doesn't, like you said, he supports right-wing type stuff.
Right.
And they seem to be really involved in Israel. The AIPAC
Super
lobby is
involved.
Very strong. But at the same time, he doesn't know where to land on this. And we're going to see a bunch of ambivalence.
Right. If you hate Jewish people, you can't love Israel. If you hate Muslims, you kind of have to like Israel. If you love the right wing, for some reason, they hate Muslim people and Palestinians? Like, I don't know what anybody is doing there.
And if you're super into sovereignty, you can't really be thrilled with the prime minister of a foreign country coming in and speaking to Congress against the wishes of the president.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So he's a man without a country, and you see it sort of coming up already here in the first clip.
We're broadcasting worldwide on 3-3, the third day of March 2015. Benjamin Netanyahu has just basically completed a lengthy speech before the Congress. We're going to be breaking down some of the powerful things that he basically said.
Spoiler alert, he doesn't break down the speech at all, really.
Right.
He has one quote from it, and it's just that Israel will not be we won't be the victims of genocidal aggression ever again.
Right.
And if that's the only quote, I don't take issue with that.
Right.
I mean, I don't know about the application of how you're doing that.
Not great.
But the sentiment I agree with. Anyway, Alex.
Because the problem with that quote is really it kind of is a, it's almost in Netanyahu's words, the opposite of what he's intending it to mean, which is we won't be the victims of a genocide. And the only way to ensure that is to genocide everybody else.
Right, right. There's a feeling of like you're not saying everything here.
Yeah.
But anyway, I paused it just to say that Alex does not break down the speech really at all. So don't look forward. Look forward to that.
He doesn't understand any of the words.
Because regardless of which side of this debate you're on, there were some major statements. The days when the Jewish people remained passive in the face of genocidal aggression are over. Broadcast networks refuse to carry it. Enraged Pelosi freaks out on the floor. We've got video of all of this we're going to be queuing up. I mean, I really am in a paradox here because I have a lot of problems with some of the things Israel does. But at the same time, I'm not an enemy of Israel. And I know Israel's a diverse country that has been attacked at least 7 times by major armies and by itself defeated them.
Not by itself.
But then I also understand a lot of the Israel lobby is over here lobbying to secure a police state in the U.S. to secure their economic foothold and to secure the U.S. as a backstop for Israel. So I have a lot of resentment over the Israel lobby, but.
So we're already seeing
There's
a conspiracy in his mind that Israel is using us as a backstop to create a police state here in order to reinforce our support of them.
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
No.
Strictly speaking, using the words.
Going by text here.
Yeah, that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
No. But that's because he can't. He doesn't have anywhere to go. He can't be against this and he can't be for it.
Right.
He's got to play the middle. And in order to play the middle, he's got to be really weird about it.
How complicated is the Israel situation? Even Alex doesn't have an opinion.
That's
how complicated it is.
It's pretty complicated.
Like I have many thoughts and opinions, and I have zero solutions. All of them are like, I mean, don't genocide. I think that's the start. I think that's where we should start.
That's a damn good solution.
That's a first start.
Yeah.
Don't create an apartheid state.
That's, that's not a solution. That's like an ideal end goal.
Yeah.
Or at least a transitional goal,
right.
I would say.
It seems like it should be a lot easier to achieve than you would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently not.
So, you know, this is going to play out. It's going to keep going. But here in this next clip is where Alex sort of gets on a reasonable ground in terms of saying it's just political grandstanding. And then he loses it real quick.
And so Obama said he wasn't going to watch it. Pelosi freaked out and tried to keep him from speaking. And I understand at a certain level this is about political grandstanding. For Netanyahu's facing re-election, I'm just being cold-blooded here and laying out the facts, and by the Democrats and liberals worldwide with the socialists that are anti-Israel to the core.
Sure.
But then there's the paradox of the Democratic leadership getting massive money from different arms of the Israel lobby. And so the whole thing's very incestuous, very hard to figure out.
That word doesn't
make
sense.
But at the bottom of the barrel... And at the bottom of the whole situation, if you go to a leftist event, they are promoting Karl Marx. They are promoting the end of the family. They're
real quick.
Sure, blah, 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 pink pang, blah, 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 blah.
Real quick, the only reason that he's saying this, they're promoting Karl Marx, is because he, at the beginning of this episode, he played a Mark Dice report where he went out on the street and asked people if they supported.
Do you mean a Mark Dice report?
Yes.
All right.
He was going out and asking people if they supported Obama christening Karl Marx as his successor as president, and people were just like, I don't know. Most of the people were like, yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know who that
their
is.
Their man on the street interviews are the worst.
They're pretty bad.
It's so amazing how there's the basic competence it requires to do a man on the street interview is still beyond them.
Yeah, but at the same time, let's not forget that I believe, wasn't it Trump who thought Frederick Douglass was still alive?
Yeah, who cares?
So, I mean, if you want to play that game,
yeah.
These people not knowing who Karl Marx is, whatever.
I mean, who gives a shit?
Right.
They're promoting world government. They're promoting violent revolution. They're promoting attack the police. And they're promoting Israel is the source of all evil and handing out and selling anti-Semitic pamphlets.
Now, who's doing that? The right now.
Yeah. They're Nazis.
Yeah.
They're literal Nazis.
You should read some of these stories that are coming out about the anti-Semitic neo-Nazi pamphleting that's going on college campuses now. It's like, I think it's something like it increased 300% in the last 6 months or something.
Oh, man.
I can't remember the exact statistic, but it's a dramatic increase.
Have you heard the story yet from the one college where they had a right-wing rally all set to go?
Free speech.
Yeah. And then because they were concerned, there was also at the same time an event to support black people, mm-hmm. and they were worried that there would be a conflict, right? So they were like, okay, well, we got to let these Nazis talk, so we're going to cancel the support for black people movement.
Cool, cool, cool.
Which could not be more American.
Right.
Nothing is more American than, well, we got to let the Nazis talk.
Well, I mean,
that's just politeness.
It's baked into that idea of free speech being to protect unappealing speech.
Yeah.
I think sometimes people like, maybe fetishize that a little bit.
Nah.
But
or maybe they're racist.
Then the very same group will run around claiming brown bags are racist and having a fiesta party at your fraternity is racist. No, people like to wear sombreros and get drunk and have a food truck come with enchiladas. The Mexican fraternities have those too. The Hispanic fraternities. It's the very same group in the left will hype racism that is non-existent or exaggerate stuff that's there in vestigial to create infighting and balkanization while obsessing 24/7 on Jews.
Oh, boy. So
I don't know how he got to any of those thoughts.
He's going to have to talk about Jews a lot in this episode. And he has to dance, and he has to, like, talk about all of his other narratives and then sort of combine them, but not too much. This is one of the most, like, ambivalent Alex I've ever heard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he just doesn't want to go too far in any directions because he knows he's going to piss off somebody.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, we talk about this all the time, the idea of, like, The sombrero parties that he's talking about, that's using someone else's culture as a costume, and that's offensive.
It's bad.
I would like to also point out, this is a really fun thing. Do you know the documentarian Louis Theroux?
Uh-uh.
He's a great British documentarian. He did a series called Weird Weekends, where he would go and hang out with just fringe people for a weekend.
Sure.
And so he went and lived with like the Westboro Baptist Church for a weekend. It was pretty horrifying.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a good weekend.
And he did a documentary about white supremacists, and he ended up hanging out with, I can't remember the guy's name, it's Metzger. It's something Metzger.
I hope it's not Kurt Metzger.
It's not. But he's a big leader in the white supremacist movement.
Uh-huh.
And he'd like printed out zines and what have you, and go and give speeches at neo-Nazi rallies and what have you.
Great.
And one of the things that ends up happening is it turns out that he likes to go to Mexico and get really fucking wasted. And so Louis goes along with this fucking white supremacist Nazi to Mexico because his weird, like, this coked out lawyer guy who represents him is like banging around with a Mexican prostitute. So they go down to Mexico, and of course, it's just this Metzger going around with a sombrero, drinking tequila all over Mexico, and it's one of the weirdest fucking things I've ever seen in my life.
I don't understand white supremacists, mm-mm. and somehow I don't understand them more after you told me that.
Totally. I recommend the documentary so highly. You get just a pathetic look into a sad shell of a hateful man.
It's so weird. Yeah. They're so weird.
Yeah. Those are all on YouTube. You can find them. I recommend.
You could hang your hat on anything. Why's it gotta be whiteness? Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Anyway, I recommend Louis Theroux's work very highly.
We don't have enough. All right.
He has this great style where he's like really unassuming, kind of, and he gets people to open up in ways that they probably shouldn't.
He's
very compelling.
Everybody likes to hear themselves talk.
Oh god,
as evidenced by me.
In that documentary, he goes and hangs out with like a couple skinheads, like at their house,
uh-huh.
and they keep asking him if he's Jewish, and he's like, I'd really rather not answer that question. And they're like, well, get the fuck out of my garage. if that camera wasn't here, I would beat your ass. Like, I'd really not. I'd prefer not to discuss this.
Hey, no.
Yeah. So in this next clip, Alex talks about the idea that the left is fine with some Jewish-based conspiracies, but somehow it's not okay for other ones. That's very weird.
That's right. There's another thing going on here.
What's that?
He has to. He loves it whenever anybody pisses off Pelosi and Obama, right?
It's true.
So that adds another layer of he doesn't know what it is he's supposed to say.
Yep.
God.
Totally.
He is fucked.
That's going to come into play a little bit later, too. That specific feeling that he has about, like, fuck these Democrats. They're angry. Shit. I should like that.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I don't. It's like an Old West movie where some asshole is like firing a gun at his feet, like dance, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. So here, this is just a clip. I mean, the only way I can describe this is like Alex starting talking about something, and then getting fucking super off track and just losing, like he has no idea where he's going.
Okay.
And it's acceptable in leftist ideology to kind of go along with the idea that there is a Jewish conspiracy of colonialism.
No, there's not. That's not acceptable.
That's the spin. The Klan says it's a Jewish conspiracy of banking.
Do you understand what he's getting at there?
No.
I don't 100% either, but I believe that what he's saying is that there is... Let's let the clip play. Let's see if he gives us more context clues. Because
right.
I think I know what he's saying, and it's not good.
And then the left says, no, it's a Jewish conspiracy of basically fascist capitalism. And then when you look at it, you know, most legends like this have some kernel of truth. There are a bunch of big financiers and people like the Rothschilds that are Jewish.
Pull up. Oh, pull there up, Alex.
Fed chairman and people in the past that have been Jewish. And certainly that's something that Jews... A lot of Jews work to be in the top of finance because it's a very prestigious position.
Oh, boy.
It's like you go in to find the top heart surgeon, and maybe out of 10 of them in your city, you know, half of them are Jewish. So, I mean, nobody can deny the fact that Jews are, on average, overachievers, high educations. All I know is this statement that Jews are evil inherently when Jews are such a diverse group of people and constantly fighting with each other like every other group and runs the gamut from right-wing to communist to libertarian.
That's not the whole
like Aaron
gamut.
Russo or Matt Drudge or so many others. I'm just sick of the stereotyping, and then the globalist above that, the very same globalist that use socialism as their control system,
who are definitely not
they
Jews,
are using Jews as again the bygone boogeyman.
Like
to
you.
Basically scapegoat the whole debate and just say, well, if it wasn't for Jews, there wouldn't be any problems in this world.
I am very uncomfortable. I'm deeply troubled by what he's saying.
It's so weird for him to be like, well, the left says that they have conspiracies and the right isn't allowed to. Now, admittedly, the Jews do run the banking industry. And you're like...
But that's just because they are very educated and it's a high-profile position to be in, and they're very much overachievers.
What? And I'm against stereotypes, by the way. Now, the stereotype that all Jews are the same thing. But I'm against stereotyping the Jews.
It's almost like he's saying, to a great extent, what he's saying is like, now the left has their conspiracies, the right has theirs. Most of them are true.
Yeah, isn't it?
Behind
isn't it pretty
behind
much exactly
it, there's
what
something
he's saying?
That's true.
And then he's like, and then above them are the globalists
right.
who are using the Jews.
Right.
Which is like, what?
But that's just how he gets off the hook of like, no, globalist, Jew, different. It's different. I'm not being anti-Semitic when I use all of these anti-Semitic canards to describe the globalist, and I can't really prove they exist.
And admittedly, most of the globalists that I do talk about.
Right.
Wind up being Jewish, like the Rothschilds and all of those people.
And I completely lie about their history, which we're going to get into in a little bit here.
Of course. If anybody knows nothing about Jewish history, it is Alex Jones.
And especially, like, Alex has a dangerous set of beliefs that he has about the Rothschilds that, like, I mean, we could do 2 hours on it, quite frankly.
Yeah.
It's a disaster. But in this next clip, you know, what we just listened to was a little bit dicey.
Right.
It's like, Alex, tread lightly. You're heading towards something kind of anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And in this next clip, Alex complains that people, he's just tired of being attacked for being anti-Semitic. And then he launches into something directly
of
anti-Semitic.
Of course he does.
And I've just seen losers throughout my life who will blame a racial or religious group for all of their problems because they themselves don't want to get up and work hard and take action and work with other people and have a good attitude.
Hmm.
That's what it comes down to. And this comes from somebody who's been savaged by the leftist arm of the Jewish lobby, not so much the Israel lobby, because, again, there's subgroups within all these groups. Mm. It's too simple just to use one name.
Careful.
They've lied about me. They've come after me. They've demonized me. They've said I'm anti-Semitic. They've said I'm racist. They've said I want to get cops killed. I mean, George Soros is a Jew. And he's a Nazi collaborator who helped round up and ferret out and rob Jews. Mm. He admits it. He's proud of it. He said he's not ashamed of it. He, quote, survived. The guy runs organizations dedicated to shutting down talk radio, internet freedom, and this show.
Nope.
He gave $196 million. With the U.S. government matching him and the Ford Foundation. The Ford Foundation is basically governmental. That came out in Congress in the 70s and the church committees. Anthony Sutton got the documents.
I can find no evidence of
the
that.
The Ford Foundation.
Right.
Notoriously developed by an anti-Semite.
Someone largely responsible for the dissemination of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
Right.
Personally responsible for distributing hundreds of thousands of copies of an anti-Semitic fraud. The Ford Foundation, Alex is saying that it came out in the church committee that it was like a government run, and Anthony Sutton got these documents. Anthony Sutton's written a number of books about like Skull and Bones and what have you.
Right.
I tried to find any connection to him and the church committee and the Ford Foundation, and I came up with nothing.
So he just made that one up whole cloth.
The church committee was about investigating the CIA and the FBI and the intelligence operations and spying and stuff in the in the aftermath of this was in the 60s.
And of course, whether or not to buy a new pulpit.
Absolutely. I don't know. I'm gonna withhold judgment on this one, but my gut tells me he's just pulling at straws. Because
if all you needed, frankly, I kinda at the end of this episode, all I need to know how I feel about Alex and his stance is just play the little clip of him saying the word Jew. And you're
George
like,
Soros is a Jew.
And you're like, whoop, nope, you're, nope.
Well, it's really fascinating to me, to hear him go from like, I'm so fucking sick and tired of everybody saying that I'm anti-Semitic. Everybody just lies about me. All these leftist Jewish organizations lie about me and call me racist. George Soros is a Jew.
And a Nazi.
And he's a Nazi. And he's just completely lying about George Soros in a very directed way. And again, this comes back to, I don't want to be defending a billionaire, but I must when there are these sorts of accusations, spurious and fraudulent accusations being leveled against him specifically, I think because he's Jewish. But be that as it may.
Yeah.
George Soros is just one target of Alex Jones's bizarre financial anti-Semitism. The other group we mentioned earlier, the Rothschilds.
Right.
Let's get into this, and Alex is going to lie, and then I'll tell you the truth.
You cannot just sit there and point at one group and say they're the problem. True. It's more complex than that.
Fair.
The Rothschilds are on record, at least one of the five arms of the family, financing Hitler. You can look that up.
I did.
But then some Rothschilds didn't get out of France and were killed by the Nazis. There's been books written on it.
So,
well, good for you.
This is deeply, deeply troubling to me, for one reason, and that's, it's not true.
Also, George Soros killed the Rothschilds who were in the, isn't that where he's going for here?
I guess. I don't know. There's no evidence of this, the Rothschilds funded Hitler at all. In fact, if you look into the actual history of it, in March 1938, within days of the Anschluss, squads of Nazi and Austrian museum personnel emptied the Rothschild brothers' Viennese palaces. From Alphonse's residence, the plunderers took 3,444 items, and from Louis' mansion, who cares, an additional 919 pieces, plus 189 coins and medals. Everything was meticulously inventoried, with the most important works earmarked for Hitler's planned Führer Museum in Linz, Austria, the town of his birth. Lesser pieces were directed to the Viennese museums, and others, mainly porcelains, were fenced at a state-owned auction house at Dorotheum. As the war proceeded, the collection was transferred from several locations outside Vienna, and by 1944 had been hidden in the Alt-Aussee salt mines near Salzburg, safe from Allied bombs. The following year, the American 42nd Division captured the trove, and blah, blah, blah. They were able to, mix it around. The Rothschild business empire was passed down to ensuing generations until March 13th, 1938, when Nazi Germans came in and the family was pressured to sell its banking operation at a fraction of its real worth. While other Rothschilds escaped the Nazis, Baron Louis was imprisoned for a year and only released after a substantial ransom was paid by his family. After Louis was released, was allowed to leave the country, in March 1939, the Nazis placed the firm of S.M. von Rothschild under compulsory administration. Nazi officers and senior staff from Austrian museums also emptied the Rothschild family estate of all their valuables. So basically what ended up happening is that their family had almost all of their wealth stolen by the Nazis.
Right.
Now, a lot of them were already out of the country by then, or at least the ones who were in areas that became occupied by Nazis.
Yeah.
They smelled the direction things were going, and they were fucking multimillionaires back then.
Right.
So one of the great myths about the Rothschilds is that they have, like, endless amounts of money. We can't imagine how much money they have, because they had millions of dollars 100 years ago or whatever.
Right.
The reality is a lot of it got liquidated during the fucking Holocaust.
Right.
So they're not nearly the, like, sure, the family probably still has in the billions of dollars, but the family is spread, like, through all sorts of marriages and kids and generations. The power that the family wields is almost infinitesimal now.
Yeah.
Now, in researching this claim,
this is, before you go any further, this is such an awful thing for Alex to do, because every example he's giving are Jews participating in the Jewish genocide.
Exactly.
That is his whole point.
And totally.
It's just like, if it's so close to him saying, like, well, they had it coming.
Right.
Like, they were the cause of their own genocide.
Right.
Even the most powerful Jews were the ones who were really perpetrating the genocide.
Well,
that way I don't have to feel bad because a white person did it.
Well, it's the same thing with, like, trans people are to blame for their own suicides.
Right.
Or,
right.
Black families don't stick together, so that's why they're poor.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Blaming
disenfranchised populations for things that society has hoisted upon them.
Yeah.
Especially.
And that way you assuage your own guilt.
White male dominated society.
Who would have guessed?
Has foisted upon them, for the crime of being other. Now, while I was researching this claim about the Rothschilds, I came upon something very interesting, and that is a 1995 article from the New York Times. Let me read you the headline. Deutsche Bank admits it helped Hitler, confronting a dark past. Deutsche Bank actively aided the expropriation of Jewish businesses and helped Hitler consolidate control over Germany's neighbors between 1933 and 1945, according to a history of the bank to be published in March. So, the Deutsche Bank came out and said, yeah, we kind of, yeah. So this guy, this.
Well, I mean, like, go back to Siemens made the ovens.
Wait.
Oh, are you going to get there?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So one of the prominent Jewish members of the board, Oscar Wasserman, was forced to resign in 1933. The start of a long string of such resignations. But George Salmson, successor to Mr. Wasserman, in a prophetic letter to the chairman of the bank's supervisory board, wrote, "I fear we are embarking on an explicit, well-planned path towards the annihilation of all Jews in Germany." Mr. Salmson lambasted the passivity and complete lack of solidarity of the country's elite, most of whom had not yet become members of the Nazi Party. While few of the bank's personnel joined the Nazi Party before 1933, many opportunists did so after Hitler assumed power. At the end of the war in 1945, 44 of the bank's 84 branch officers were party members. All of them had joined after 1933. In the end, Mr. James wrote, the guy who's writing the history of this stuff, "Bankers, unlike generals, were largely powerless to decisively influence the course of history, but through their passivity, they also contributed to the horrors of the Holocaust." Now, why is this important?
It is so nice of them to say that bankers have no influence. Isn't that interesting?
The bank histories,
Who would have guessed that at least they had no influence? They couldn't have changed anything. You know, just having all of the money that they need.
But as you see with the Rothschild situation, if you didn't play ball, they were just going to take over. The Nazis were just going to take over your bank. Like, it's not. I'm not saying that gets anyone off the hook, but in terms of being able to stop what was going on, I don't think the bankers really had that much control.
Now,
their passivity, as it's very clearly said in there, their passivity added to the horrors, and they should be deeply ashamed that they didn't do anything. But
I find it hard to believe that the banks at that time would not have been able to wield enough financial power to curb a lot of that shit.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know that either of us knows entirely. But.
Well, I mean, imagine now banks divesting themselves from oil companies.
Yeah.
Climate change is immediately curbed.
Yeah, but that's totally different than the idea of climate change being an army that has authoritarian grasp on power in the country.
Army's got to have money, man.
No,
I
understand that, but climate,
like, they are actively complicit.
Climate change and gas companies are not. They don't have foot soldiers that will actively take over your bank in the same way that the Nazis did. I understand what you're saying, and
I agree with the point. It's not like they kept all their money in. I mean, maybe they just had a big ass vault and
full of gold.
Yeah,
a bunch of Krugerrands.
Yeah, like what? Are the Nazis going to go to branches, each individual branch, and be like, "Hey, we're going to take $50 from all of these"? Like, I don't know what that.
They have more than $50.
I know.
But possibly they would.
That's true.
It's a fascist takeover
right.
of the state
right.
and everything. So I'm not. Again, I want to be totally clear that I'm not letting any. Bank off the hook.
I don't know. I just hate banks.
That's fair.
I think every bank executive is probably guilty of a lot of crimes.
So, little spoiler alert, that 1995 article made it very clear that even Deutsche Bank is admitting that they actively helped Hitler in the Holocaust. And this Business Insider article here is very interesting. The headline, "Donald Trump holds roughly $300 million in debt to Deutsche Bank." I'm going to just leave that without comment.
Well.
Anyway, in this next clip, Alex complains about how he's been wronged by Israel.
How?
And this is the experience I've had. I know Israel's diverse, different political parties, different ideas. I have a love-hate relationship with some of the people that are in Israel, some of the things that have been done to me for no reason. There's a lot of bullying because Israel feels like Israel's right, so you better get 100% behind Israel or you're the enemy. That's wrong. And that's why Israel's lost a lot of support in the world. That said, Israel is not the end-all, be-all, only thing on the planet. And I don't mean by the Israelis having that view of themselves. Everybody thinks they're the center of the universe wherever they live at. That's what Texans think. That's what Americans think. That's what Germans think. It's what Chinese think. It's what Mexicans think. That's just normal. I'm talking about people outside of Israel.
Why do you throw Mexicans
in? And the Arabs. And
I don't know. I think he was just trying. He was just the only other country he could think of. But
yes. Like, give three more examples.
But like, I don't think that that's how people think.
No, I don't think anybody thinks that.
I think that's how people who are indoctrinated into like ways of thinking that are rampantly nationalistic,
generally anti-Semitic.
No, not even that, but just like nationalist think. Like, I don't think, like, I don't have anything against America as a thing. I like America. I think we could do better about a lot of stuff, but I don't want to destroy America. But at the same time, I don't think we're the most important thing in the world. I think the world is the most important thing in the world.
Probably.
And I think a lot of people in other countries think that way too.
I'm going to go with whales. I'm going to go with
the animal
whales.
Or
orcas.
The part of
orcas.
Britain.
No, not whales.
Oh, okay. Like you were maybe a Welsh,
a Welsh
extreme
nationalist.
Nationalist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
I don't even know if there are any Welsh extreme nationalists.
Probably Alex.
There would have to be, right?
Technically, Alex.
Mm.
He talks about how he's Welsh.
That's true.
But look, I don't know. We'll get back to this idea about nationalism here in a minute because Alex goes off on some stuff later. But just to suffice for now, I don't think that's all
I think the
most
rule
think.
Is you can't be a nationalist if your words don't have vowels. Isn't that how that works?
What?
Welsh.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
All right.
Quom.
Come on.
It's a grassy hill. Quom. A great Scrabble word for you people out there. Q-W-M. Quom. That shouldn't be a word, but it is. Anyway, in this next clip, Alex Jones talks about how bad Palestinians are. And then he complains a little bit about his own personal plight.
That is exactly what he says. Like, I've seen more black people beat up white people than I've ever seen more white people. You know,
yep.
Look, I've been beaten up by Israel more than Israel has been beaten up by me. That's
right.
Just true.
Yeah.
That's just a true thing.
This is not great.
All these Arab countries won't let the Palestinians in, won't give them aid. The Palestinians constantly try to overthrow whatever country they're in. I'm not demonizing the Palestinians.
What?
I'm just saying they're used as a political football to manipulate everyone, and Israel is held to a higher standard.
No.
And it is a religion to hate Israel. So I've got a lot of problems with Israel. Some of the people in Israel, some of the political parties, some of the groups. But at the same time, it's a paradox because I've never experienced more vitriolic hatred as I have from the anti-Israel crowd. They will make stuff up. They
like
will
you.
Exaggerate. They will lie. Everyone is a Jew. I don't care if your last name's Jones, Richardson, Green, Johnson, Sanchez, Chin.
Really thinking about Mexicans.
Everyone is a Jew. The Jews are all powerful. They're running everything. I never had success. I wasn't a good talk radio host. I never borrowed a dime.
You have said multiple occasions you borrowed tens of thousands of dollars from your dad.
But they claim I'm financed by secret Jewish cabals. It's very frustrating to be included on all the Nazi websites out there and white supremacist websites.
Wonder why.
Photoshopped in at, you know, Jewish events, literally, fake videos, you name it, that I'm some Israeli agent. Never been to Israel. I do want to travel there. It's amazing, I'm told, to see all that history. I want to go to Syria. That's got even more ruins and Roman stuff.
It's all
so
run
I'm just
down.
Sick of all the ignorance, basically. And I'm tired of sitting here watching the anti-Israel crowd degenerate by the minute, and then Israel feeling like it's totally encircled, getting more and more out of control, and all these nuclear weapons. This is a dangerous situation. I want prosperity.
Great. I would say that if anyone is like, if we had a high school yearbook and we're giving out superlatives, most likely to come down with Jerusalem syndrome, Alex Jones. He goes to Jerusalem. He's going to be, I am the Messiah.
Oh, man. That would not be good.
So,
I just like, look, Palestinians try to overthrow every country
every
they're in.
Every country.
I'm not trying to demonize Palestinians.
That's
I'm just saying
that's
that all Palestinians
pivot.
Try and destroy every country that they're in.
Now, they're by nature treasonous, but I'm not trying to disparage the Palestinians. I'm not shitting on the Palestinians. They are definitely against every country.
Right. No. Palestinians are, of course, evil and chaotic and monstrous.
By nature.
But, come on.
Yeah.
Also, aren't they just trying to be Palestine?
We will get back to that in a minute, too. A lot of this is going to come full circle.
I don't think they're trying to overthrow Israel so much as live.
Yeah. They, Yeah, we're going to get to this.
Okay.
There's a very important point that Alex brings up in a little bit, and we'll get to it. But
I think the biggest problem I have right now is he's getting close to the territory of, like, who's a Jew? Are you a Jew? Is that guy a Jew? As though that's a really important distinction to make.
Hold on to that until the next clip, because the next clip is fucking weird as shit.
We're going to get into every anti-Semitic canard that we can today, aren't we?
But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit more about this complaint that Alex has about these anti-Semitic sites, these anti-Israel sites, saying that he's a Israeli agent.
Like all of the people that he wants to be in government now?
Well, he sort of, he nurtures these sort of attacks. And I don't know exactly how to put it, but I think he relishes the idea that people make these attacks on him, because then criticism of him is seen as crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, whenever half of the websites in the world say he works for Mossad and the other half say, he works for the CIA.
Right.
Something like that. Anybody who has a legitimate criticism of him is like, hey, you know, his rhetoric is really reminiscent of old anti-Semitic canards, and he lies all the time, and he keeps saying that he's in contact with intelligence agencies, and it's kind of weird. I think everybody should pay attention to this. Oh, also, one of the businesses he's running appears to be illegal. You don't get any traction. That's why memes about him are really successful. Everyone wants to make fun of it.
Yeah.
But any, like, actual criticism of him is just lumped in with, like, oh, you're one of those crazies who thinks he works for Space Command.
Well, whatever. Not least of which, he has to love it because ideologically he agrees with everything else with those anti-Semitic, like, with, if you're talking about an anti-Israel website,
it gives him
wrapped up in all of that is all the other racisms.
Well, it gives him anti-Semitic cover to a certain extent, because
exactly.
The anti-Semites are attacking him.
Right.
But
that allows him to distance himself from agreeing with everything that they have to say. So he gets to be like, well, of course I'm not like Stormfront. I don't hate Israel. But you're, even if you don't hate Israel, you agree with everything else Stormfront says.
I don't agree with Stormfront because they attack me all the time. Can't you see that we're different?
Right.
I don't agree with David Duke. I had him on the show and we agreed about everything, but I pretended I disagreed with him. And
Yeah.
So, like I said, in this next clip, we get into some weird, ethnic talk. This is really weird. It starts with him talking about how Israelis did unethical testing on some Jewish populations that they had, and it's a troubling history. I think a lot of countries have that troubling history in their past. No one gets a pass on it, but where Alex goes from there makes me deeply uncomfortable.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, Israel didn't get caught doing testing on Arabs. They got caught testing on Jews.
First of all,
Jews are responsible for everything that happens to Jews.
But also in there, he's almost saying that as if they had tested on Arabs, it would be
big deal.
But
it'd be fine.
Right.
It'd be fine.
Which is also, I don't like that at all.
Sephardic Jews, which genetically are true, undisputed Jews. They are
Why is that
proto-genetic group, pre-Arab, before African invasions of much of the Middle East? Because that's what an Arab is part Anglo, part Asian, and part African. That's just a fact. That's what Arabs are, is a hybrid.
I do not like any conversations that involve Jews and ethnic purity. I don't like any of that. That's not a good line to go down.
Anytime he's getting into genetic makeup, and I'm like, stop right there. Please, please don't do it.
These are true Jews.
Yeah, I don't know.
The African.
Nope.
Like, oh, no.
Africans
no.
Invaded? What?
Alex,
I don't,
Alex, Alex,
I don't
Alex,
like
Alex,
any of this.
Alex, calm down. Then he ends that beginning of the, there's more, but like he ends there with like, that's what Arabs are. They're a hybrid.
Yeah, like, I don't like that either.
Stop. Stop it. He's not going to stop.
Arabs. They don't count because they're not ethnically pure. No, I didn't mean to say. Oh boy.
Now what I meant to say is they're a hybrid. Oh shit.
Damn it.
Fuck.
Oh god damn. What I meant to say is that they're lesser than Jews. Fuck Jesus. Okay.
And if you look at Sephardic Jews, they have a genetic template that predates from bones they've dug up to about 6,000-7,000 years ago in that region
when the world was
groups
created.
Pretty much out of Europe. What is Europe today? So you have this whole argument about Ashkenazi Jews and the anthropology, and they're not really Jews because they're from what's Georgia today or north of Georgia. It's Europeans, ladies and gentlemen. And then you've got later permutations of Jews in Babylonian captivity, in Egyptian captivity, and other captivities. And so you do have an Arab line of genetics in the Jews. But that's who they are. So when you get into this more ancient text claiming there's these lost tribes in Europe, that's because that's what's so ridiculous about.
First of all, he never finishes that thought. I'm very curious what that thought was going to be.
The lost tribes in Europe?
Yeah, but he doesn't explain that. But hold on, let's finish the clip and then get back to this.
About all this is that Jews, original Jews, are just Europeans in the Middle East. And then you've got...
What?
Just all of this idiocy.
Just
pure, absolute idiocy. And then the modern Jews are part Arab. So being anti-Semitic means being anti-Arab, too. It's just all... The public is so ignorant about this, and the governments play us off against each other. I'm going to give the number out, 800-259-9231.
Wait. Okay. So if I understand what he said correctly, all Jews are white people, but not now Jews. Now Jews are both Arabs and white people? Is that what he's trying to say? What is he trying to say?
I don't know what he's trying to say, but what he should have said was nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
He should.
Thanks, Mike Birbiglia.
The only thing that I can really take away from that clip is that whoever kicked in that music was late. That going to break music should have come in much earlier. I don't know enough about genetic fossil records and stuff like that because it doesn't really interest me.
I
think it's irrelevant.
It's very irrelevant.
But I think once you're getting into this and this sort of discourse and you're acting like it means anything, I think you're already in bad territory.
Right.
And I don't know what point he's trying to make. I think it is what you're saying, that these original Jews were from Europe and then they got...
They're white people and then they got ruined by the Arabs. I think that's what he's kind of saying.
He does talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
About the idea that Greeks are only hairy and dark haired because of Muslim invasions and stuff like that. Which is hey buddy, cut that out. It's that kind of rhetoric is unnecessary.
You know what's great? Diversity in all things. And then when you start getting to who's a real Jew and who's not a real Jew, then we get into real trouble.
Well, I mean, that's a conversation that I think Israel has, and I'm not thrilled with it.
Not a big fan.
But it's also their conversation to have. You know what I mean? In the same way that, I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable no matter what. But I don't know, because I'm trying. You have to look at it from an ethnicity and a religion standpoint. And if you want to go with the religion, it's totally cool. Because then you're if you want to be a part of the religion, here are the steps you take to get into it, or whatever. But if you want to go with the ethnic version, nothing's good there. Nothing is good there. I'm trying to think of a way that it's I guess it makes sense to exclude people from your group. I don't know.
I mean, I suppose, here's the weirdest part about this, is that as he is dancing, so now are we. In a certain sense, is because there's...
Because we're trying to make sense of what the fuck he's saying.
Yeah, exactly. And at the same time, I don't want to be mistook, you know? And it's very easy to say something about the Israel situation.
That's one of the reasons that this has been put off since October.
Yeah. it's difficult. It's so hard to just wade into this and be I am right. Mm-hmm. There's no easy win on this one.
No.
Because if you want to talk about the religion and the ethnicity, to a certain extent, the ethnicity is built into the religion simply because they've always been fucked with.
Right.
You know? Part of your religion, eventually, if everybody's trying to kill you, has to be if everybody's trying to kill us, we got to stick together.
And Jews aren't the only population that has faced that sort of population pressure.
Right.
Anabaptists were slaughtered and driven out of many
Absolutely.
Places in Europe. And so there is like a ethnic, it's not a perfect overlap, but like
no, absolutely
Amish
not.
Communities are generally of, similar, ancestry and heritage. And that's why they end up with conditions like maple syrup urea that don't exist in other communities. Well, you know, that's just right. A fun example because I grew up Mennonite and I know a bunch of fucking Amish people and stuff. And my buddies always used to bully me about whether my pee smelled like maple syrup. So that's coming from my own pain as a child. But
is that a curse, Dan, or is it a gift?
I mean, compared to other things your pee can smell like, it's a gift. I don't know. I think it has something to do with a breakdown in your kidneys or something. But be that as it may, there are a bunch of populations that have gone through that sort of bottlenecking and what have you. It's just that, I don't know, Anabaptists don't really have a state.
Nope.
And I don't know. That makes it much more complicated. I don't know.
Well, I mean, then you get into, Sufi Muslims. You go through, God damn it, all the names.
Any population that's been a victim of genocide.
Yeah,
too.
pretty much.
That's something that you're gonna come to.
The Sikhs, like, go all the way across the board, man.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yep.
It's just one of those things where, and it's also probably part of why it is, purposefully hard to become a practicing Jew if you are not Jewish, if you are not born into that kind of religion.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just start going to the synagogue and be like, I'm Jewish. Like, that's not quite how that works.
See, now we're going back to what I was talking about. But I think there's a process of conversion for any religion. If you want to go ahead and join a Christian church.
Nah, you just kind of walk in.
You can play the wall a little bit, but if you want to get more involved, you end up taking the sacrament, you end up, there's rituals that you can do on your own that you're supposed to do.
Right.
Outside of necessarily the formal. But if you want to become a member of the church, there's things you have to, like, you have to say prayers and stuff, probably with the minister.
Yeah, I think what we've just come to is that religions are stupid.
I kind of agree for the most part, but they give a lot of people a lot of great benefits, and so bless them for it. I don't want to destroy religion, but a lot of it's kind of silly.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Anyhoozle.
I just realized that whenever I take a shower, I kind of end up with a little bit of a curly cue. I have a Hasidic look.
That's such a Jewish thing to do.
Oh, boy. So anyway, in this next clip, Alex, he's all over the place.
You know what? The anti-Semites worship Jews.
Boy.
I think that's what it comes down to.
That's a great start.
I don't dislike the NFL, but I'm sick of that's all you hear about for 4 or 5 months out of the year. Mm. And most men don't have a life. They just obsess on the NFL all day and play fantasy football. It's mentally ill. And the same thing. I don't hate Israel, but man, I'm sick of it.
First of all,
wait, what?
I think Alex saw like 2 episodes of The League and thought that's how real people act.
Right.
I think that's probably what he's basing that off
of. Real people don't actually interact with Alex, so he has to kind of view the world through his little glass window.
I know a lot of people who are super into football and they have a lot of other interests.
Yeah.
Anyway, and relating that to anti-Semitism is very bizarre. But be that as it may, let's get back.
Even that example is like,
he's trivializing
hate. Just stop talking about Israel. I'm sick of you talking about it. Right. Yeah. Go ahead and love the NFL or Israel or hate it, whatever. Just never, ever speak about it.
Which is not dealing with the issue.
No.
Certainly.
It's the exact opposite of.
I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm sick of all the people on both sides, all vitriolically, you know, feeling like they're on the right side when it's all a big manipulation.
Hmm. By the globalists.
Yeah.
Who definitely aren't.
That's
Jews.
What it comes down to. And you got Saudi Arabia financing anti-free speech initiatives in the U.S. You got Israel financing anti-free speech initiatives. You got George Soros doing it. You got left wing, right wing. You got every special interest group out there trying to
everybody
shut
but
down
white
free
people.
Speech and trying to take our guns.
Show your work.
Wait.
Show your work.
So Israel's trying to take our guns.
Right. And Saudi Arabia and George Soros.
And George Soros.
And everybody on the left. Yes.
And
they're trying to shut down
okay.
free speech and take your guns.
All right.
Now here's where this goes.
But then wouldn't that by definition make all of his listeners go, Well, then I hate Israel. Well, but they're trying to take our guns.
It's just these globalist portions of Israel. There's several great people there in Israel.
Well, yeah, but they're trying to take our guns away, so I have to hate Israel.
It's so diverse, though. It's a paradox.
But you just said they're trying to take our guns away.
Well,
So America, the big empire, can be their toy to go out and be a bully and take over the world for whoever, fill in the blank. And here's the deal.
We've been doing a great job
by ourselves. I'm sick of paying for it, like Rand Paul says. I don't want to give aid to China. We give billions to them. I don't want to give aid to Israel. I don't want to give aid to Egypt. I don't want to give aid to anybody, not Mexico, no one.
Give
I'm
four
sick
more
of
examples.
It. I don't
really
want to pay for Chinese
today.
And Mexican and German women to come here and have their babies paid for and be put on welfare and see it advertised on CNN how great it is to do it. Yeah, I don't like illegals getting free in-state tuition and free scholarships, and then I got to pay for it.
You don't.
Yeah, you're right. Not because I hate Latin Americans. If I came down there and got everything free from them, they'd really be upset with me. I'm sick of unfairness. I'm sick of garbage. And I'm sick of people who are ignorant.
So by his own sentence, he's saying that he is fucking sick of these others.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
So I did.
I'm sick of everybody but white people.
Right, the whites are cool.
Yeah,
but all these other people coming in, I'm fucking sick of them.
So if he's sick of unfairness, I assume he's for reparations, right? Come on, I mean it's really unfair that you know people had all of their wealth destroyed and then have been systematically oppressed for hundreds of years. So it is unfair every day for them to live like they've been forced to. I assume that we have to make, you know, reparations for that.
This is foolish.
No. It's unfair.
So I want to talk a little bit about what Alex has to pay for.
Yeah.
Nothing. Undocumented immigrants do not qualify for welfare, food stamps, Medicaid, and most other public benefits. Also, most of those programs require proof of legal immigration status, and under the 1996 welfare law, even legal immigrants cannot receive these benefits until they've been in the United States for more than 5 years. But there are narrow exceptions. According to PolitiFact, pregnant women and nursing mothers could be eligible for certain benefits under the Women, Infants, Children Program, WIC, which provides food and nutrition vouchers to low-income families if they have a child that was born in the United States. Their child could also enroll in Medicaid, although the undocumented parents could not. So, the parents can't get Medicaid, they can't get any of those programs if they're illegally here. But the child can, because we don't want children dying all over the place.
Are they American?
I mean, technically, yeah, they have birthright citizenship.
Mm.
So, be that as it may, I looked into it a little bit, and I found the statistics of WIC, which is the primary thing that these women who are coming over here
right.
in order to scam the government. That's the basic thing that they can get.
Well, if there's one thing I know about government programs designed to help underprivileged people, it's that they are exceedingly well-funded and do everything that they can to help everybody, right? There's no...
Well, WIC started in 1974. Uh-huh. It was a program that started in 1974, and at that point, the average monthly food cost per person that was on the program was $15.68.
Yep.
That's not something that people are scamming as much as they are trying to not die.
Monthly,
$15. So I looked at it a little bit deeper, and I found that for 2017, we have the statistics, the program has grown since 1974, but the amount that people get monthly under WIC is
$16.78.
$41.24. Now, if you adjust that for inflation going back to 1974, that's $8.76 compared to what it was in 1974. Now, the interesting thing is that over the years, a number of enrollment has gone up quite a bit. In 1974, when the program started, there was 88,000 people who were on the program.
Mm-hmm.
As of 2017, it's 7,286,000. Seems like a lot. Seems like a whole ton. But if you look at the numbers again, you have to look at the totality of the big picture. The number was trending upwards for years, and then it hit its peak in 2009. When the economy crashed, when the stock market crashed, it reached its high of 9,122,000 enrollees in the program. And since then, with the exception of the next year, it went up like 50,000 people.
Yeah.
But since then, It has trended downwards, and now there are approximately 2 million less people getting it than there were in 2009. So Alex's idea that tons of people are coming over here and scamming the government in order to get $9 a month to get food, equivalent of 1974, $9, $40 even, who cares?
Right.
It's a pittance in terms of the things that we spend money on. And it's an embarrassing, disgusting use of him just lying about statistics, lying about the reality of the situation in order to punch downward on disenfranchised people. Generally speaking, when you have these people who are coming over from, let's say, Mexico or China, these women who are coming over, if they're coming from China, until fairly recently, there's a decent chance it was because there's a one-child policy and they might have their kid killed.
Right.
So they're coming to America in order to save the life of their child, and you're not going to be able to find a job immediately. Now you got a fucking baby. Give the fucking person $35 a month to get food and formula for their kid.
Please.
It's nonsense. The idea of this making him so mad. It's also not a program that you can be on, I believe, more than 5 years.
For fuck's sakes, how much have we paid for Trump to stay in his own fucking hotels?
Right, right, totally.
Like, what is wrong with us? We're monstrous.
I imagine.
I'm against America.
I imagine, within a couple of years, we will, eclipse the total amount we spend on WIC on Donald Trump's travel.
I
imagine that
it.
Will be the case.
100%.
So you can't be on this program forever. That's definitely the case.
Right.
Even if you do come over as a pregnant woman and give birth in the United States in order to have your kid get citizenship and you get on this sweet, sweet scam of WIC money, you can't get Medicare. You can't get food stamps unless you come over legally. And even then, you can't get it for 5 fucking years.
Right.
There are safeguards in place about this. It's just such a boogeyman.
It's almost like people come over here because they want their children to have a better life. Like just about every fucking immigrant that America has ever fucking had.
Yeah. Yeah. More or less.
That's the way the country fucking started.
Or let's even take it a step further. They want their kid to have a life.
Yeah.
Because if you're running away from some terrible situation in a war-torn country or something like that, or some place where, like, I mean, if you even
look, refugees are terrorists, Dan.
But if you look at some of these, like, the child mortality rate in places like, let's say, Iraq is drastic. It's something to the, it's like 10% or something like, yeah. It's probably even higher than that.
Well, it's almost as high as ours. All right.
Ours is not great, but it's fine. But like, it's not fine.
No, it's highest in the developed world.
But if you're coming from a place like that, it's not because you want to scam something. It's because you're desperate. And I don't feel like it's a great look
to for demonize
us
them.
With the rates of consumption we have and the wastes that we have as a country to be like, we can't throw you a dime. Sorry. Get the fuck out of here. Go die where you came from.
Not least of which,
it's pathetic.
Chances are they're escaping where they live probably because of something that we did to where they live.
There's a decent chance that there's a connection. And then if you want to go even a step further, a 2006 report by the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, a left-leaning research organization, found that undocumented immigrants paid roughly $11 billion in state and local taxes in 2013. Social Security Administration report also cited a $12 billion payroll tax amount tied to undocumented workers. The Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy report also estimated the average income of an undocumented family at little more than $30,000, well below the country's median household income of around $54,000. The report also said that the average tax rate for immigrants in the country illegally is actually higher than the rate paid by America's top earners. So there's a massive tax base that we're getting from illegal undocumented immigrants who can't file for tax returns and shit like that. They get screwed over with a much higher tax rate.
Eat the rich.
Right.
Eat the rich now.
But you understand? Like, there's a massive amount of money that's coming in. If you look at this, the amount of money that's coming
Trickle down works, Dan.
The amount of money that's coming in from undocumented immigrants here, let's say between $11 and $12 billion in payroll taxes and state and federal taxes. If you look at WIC, which again is not only undocumented immigrants, it's also citizens,
What is it? 40 bucks? So 280 million?
No,
along those lines?
Because it's
monthly.
It's
okay.
It's $5.6 billion.
Yeah.
So that's under half of the amount of money that comes in from taxation of undocumented immigrants.
Right.
Like, this is, we're playing with numbers a tiny bit here just to give an example.
This is
pathetic.
The point is, this is an embarrassment, and Alex Jones is the worst.
It's abject cruelty masquerading as a financial principle or something like that. And it makes me very sad. Anyway, now we come to the show where Alex takes some calls.
Oh, no. He's taking calls on Israel?
This first caller is.
This is not going to go well.
This first caller is not great.
Oh, boy.
Let's go to your phone calls. Jim in West Virginia. You're Jimmy. On the air. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hi, Alex. I watched the excellency being introduced. To me, it just seemed like a total dictatorship trying to preach to the U.S. Congress, and it really upsets me. I think if it was and vice versa, that wouldn't happen. To me, it is just, a scam, but he never did mention what is the good deal. What is he so upset about? What seems to be aggravating him? It was all poor Israel history, background, and the things we know. We know the Holocaust. Every year we're constantly reminded of it. We never will be allowed to forget it.
Oh boy.
Well, yeah.
I think the catchphrase is never forget.
We should not forget genocides.
Yeah, to quote Elie Wiesel, no, I guess that was never again was Elie Wiesel's quote, but
yeah.
You can't really have something never happen again if you don't remember it.
Listen, hey, the towers went down. That was awful.
That's never
awful.
Forget. Yeah, I
never
apologize.
Forget that. The Holocaust,
forget about it.
It was like 70 years ago, Dan.
Right.
Move on.
Exactly.
Move on. Come on.
But what is the deal that he was talking about? Why is he so upset?
What is the deal?
Well, the deal is to let Iran have supposedly peaceful reactors that get inspected. And not be able to build up enough reactors to actually produce a bomb for 10 years. And Iran's already said that it's not acceptable.
That's not true. Iran said the deal was acceptable.
And they took
the deal
it.
Was made.
Yeah.
And
hey, it'll be dismantled now.
Yeah. But everybody who doesn't have some sort of very weird vested interest in it, everybody who's looked at that deal said this is a really good deal. What we did was give Iran back their own money.
Right.
And they agreed to have oversight of their nuclear power generating capabilities, which is something that we couldn't have had before.
Right.
The
IAEE.
Yeah, that's really hard to say.
Yeah.
The International Atomic Oversight, whatever.
Yeah.
They would be able to go in and check if they were up to no good, which left to their own devices.
They would start making trouble in the neighborhood.
It's entirely possible. I mean, not to say that they 100% would, but we would have no way of knowing.
Right.
And that deal allowed the international community to have oversight. And if we do get rid of it, we don't get our money back. And Iran just gets to do whatever they want. So that's really stupid. The deal was a very good deal.
Which, to a certain extent, you know what? I think it might be a smart idea to have nuclear weapons if you're Iran.
At this point, it's like a smoke 'em if you got 'em situation.
Yeah, right?
Get to the point where no one can attack you quick.
Exactly.
Cause, shit's about to pop off.
I mean, for real, we're the ones who gave them the authoritarian theocracy that they have now. Of course they should have nuclear weapons. We're gonna fuck with them again.
Yeah, there's real trouble. I don't know, man.
Hey, foreign policy is easy to solve, Dan.
Very
I think
much.
We fixed it.
Very much so.
Yeah.
And so I think Israel's issue is they're not going to let Iran become a nuclear power or Iraq, and that they will attack like they did Iraq in 1980
that
or 1981.
Well.
I forget which year it was. And that they have a right to self-determination to do it.
Nope.
And I think the issue is that Israel is kind of like the 51st state. But it's also people don't like the fact that Israel has diplomatic immunity of a type where Jews can commit crimes here in the U.S., then run back to Israel, and then Israel will protect them. There's a lot of things about Israel that upset me, that I criticize, that are unfair, and that's why we talk about it. The whole right of return thing.
Uh-oh. So,
oh boy,
this is where we get into a very bizarre idea that is a deeply
what?
This is the cornerstone of very deeply anti-Semitic political thinking. A lot of people believe that if you're a citizen of Israel, you get to run away to Israel if you commit a crime, and I'm over here, I'm on home base, you can't get me.
People believe that shit?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the reasons why
people believe that Die Hard 2 is a real thing.
Well, I mean, to some extent, diplomatic immunity is real, but it's not for every citizen of a country.
Right, exactly.
It's for diplomats. It's for, like, high-ranking political officials.
What is going
on? So here's the thing. This is the reason why, when Alex Jones was complaining earlier about, like, all these anti-Semitic, anti-Israel sites accuse everybody of being Jewish, because these people believe that all of these nefarious actors in the world are stirring up trouble, and they're secretly Jewish, and they're going to run away to Israel when the shit goes down, basically. And this is based on the idea of the right of return. Are you aware of the right of return?
Yeah, within 30 to 45 days, if you have genes,
you can... No. So the Knesset in 1950, they decided that everybody who is of Jewish ethnicity was able to go to Israel and become an Israeli citizen.
Right.
That was the right of return of the people who were sent out in the diaspora.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever.
And kibbutz and whatnot.
It created an incredibly problematic thing in that, like, oh, don't the Palestinians have a right to return as well? Nah, not so much. Not so much.
Oh, well.
So they're denying the Palestinians their right to return, while at the same time, if you were, let's say, Jewish, you could, if like your mother was Jewish, you could right now go to Israel and become a citizen.
Yeah.
They would allow that. Or
I could go to Palestine and become a Jewish citizen.
And they from what I understand, Israel has opened it up a little bit, even to, like, if you have a maternal grandmother who was Jewish, you can now go.
Yeah.
Or if you convert to, like, Orthodox Judaism, you can go and become a citizen. They're really expanding the right of return in terms of, because they want to swell the population and have all the settlements and
shit. Of course.
But this idea is, it's crazy. Like,
yes, this is fucking nuts.
The reality of the right of return stuff is pretty crazy, but I if you take the part of it where you're not respecting the Palestinians' right to return to their homelands, if you ignore that part, it makes total sense that a
Absolutely.
Disrupted community after, like, the UN has given out this, dictate to tons and tons of groups after, like in Serbia, after the Serbian war in the 90s, people had the right of return to come back to their lands
Absolutely.
And stuff like that. It happens over and over again after wars or terrible things like that. So it that isn't nefarious, but the way it's being applied is nefarious. And then Alex's understanding of it as being like Jews have diplomatic immunity, and they can commit crimes and run away to Israel is like, that's the cornerstone of political anti-Semitism. So now Alex is coming
in. That is bonkers.
So now Alex is coming in with some hot-cooked, old-timey, archaic anti-Semitism in terms of his beliefs about the Rothschilds and all the blood libel and poisoning the well narratives that we've documented over and over again in the past. Now he's throwing in a fresh new anti-Semitism that he doesn't really discuss all that much, but he clearly believes is real.
That is bananas.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
People believe that dumb shit?
Yeah, it's in all kinds of weird anti-Semitic blogs you can find. It's not true, though.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Can you imagine the very idea of, like, you just commit some crimes and then, like, Israel's, like, going to take the heat for you if you're a murderer.
Like,
you just run away to Israel.
Like, America's going to be like, ooh, foiled again.
Curses. Israel. Yeah, that's real nonsense. And it's a dangerous thing that Alex Jones is allowing that sort of talk to go on his show. Because it does reinforce a lot of the, like, again, it's the cover that he gets from these neo-Nazi anti-Semitic sites attacking him. He's allowed to perpetuate these sorts of ideas. Anyway, let's get to another caller, because this one hits very close to home for me. This is very interesting.
What'd you think of Netanyahu's speech, and what is it distracting us from? Alan in Washington, D.C., go ahead.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome.
Afternoon, rather. I want to note that Chris Matthews on MSNBC right after the speech said, quote, too many people were smiling during the Netanyahu speech. Just another example of the partisan division that they turn this into. But the bigger picture, I think, is who is Barack Obama who's negotiating with Iran? And I want to alert you of research I've done. I've connected the Obama birth certificate cover-up in Hawaii to a eugenics think tank at the East-West Center. I've connected the mother of the twins who founded Planned Parenthood to Alvin Onaka, who is I've connected to the Population Association of America and the American Eugenics Society, both organizations that go back to Margaret Sanger. And if you just type in Google, Hawaii official who certified White House certificate of live birth and mother of twins who claim to remember President Obama's birth, both tied to U.S. government eugenics think tank.
That's send us a link to that. We'd like to research that. And if it's
he's going to look into it. He's going to look into it and report it if it's true.
Do you think they have? Do you think Google has that on autofill? Can you just type in the first part of that and it'll fill in the rest for you?
Did you mean? Yeah, probably. So at the end there,
showing results for you're a fucking lunatic.
So at the end there, the caller even got back to what he's talking about. This eugenics think tank in Honolulu called the East-West Center. You know what's fun? My dad had a 3-year fellowship at the East-West Center. I spent a lot of time at the East-West Center when I was a kid.
Well, obviously, Obama's a Jew then, right?
So my dad...
That's a fun new conspiracy there is Obama is not a secret Muslim, Dan.
No.
That's crazy. He's a secret Jew!
So my dad got his doctorate at Harvard in religious studies and... his emphasis is like Revelation and biblical Hebrew and stuff like that. But after that, he got a 3-year fellowship at the East-West Center in Honolulu. And that's why we lived in Hawaii when I was growing up. And, it's interesting because, you look into the East-West Center, first of all, not a eugenics operation. It's mostly about, the connections between the Eastern and Western worlds and trying to find solutions in terms of matching cultures up and helping
people. Sounds like eugenics to me.
Helping people understand each other. And here, I'm going to read the abstract of one of my dad's publications from the time that he was at the East-West Center. Uh-huh. It's called Ancestors and Post-Contact Religion, Roots, Ruptures, and Modernity's Memory.
Sounds like he stole that from Margaret Sanger.
This was published later, but it's, from research that he was conducting at his time at the East-West Center. An outgrowth of, Dialogue of Civilizations 1992 conference on ancestors and spirituality, this volume addresses two facets common to our human experience. We are all descendants. We all have ancestors who make powerful claims on our lives. And we live in the aftermath of contact between European-based cultures and other civilizations. It's now clear that native religions are alive and adapting in the contemporary world, just as all religions have done in all eras. The phenomenon of ancestors is common to all humans, but while prominent in most indigenous traditions, it's been suppressed in Western cultures. This volume articulates crucial issues in the study of post-contact religion through the themes of ancestral ordering of the world, intense personal attachments to forebears, and the catastrophes of colonization.
Yeah.
Now, you know what's interesting about that?
You just did some buzz marketing?
No. Alex would love that.
Yeah.
It's talking about ancestral memory. Connection to your ancestors. It's talking about how the West has been disrupted from connection to our ancestors in a way that indigenous cultures haven't. Alex should love that. I'm going to send him a copy.
All right.
I just think that's really funny. And I mean, admittedly, I was, you know, around the age of 10. At the time, I couldn't have smelled out a CIA operation if my life depended on it because
right.
I was a wee boy. But everything I know.
Yeah, you're no Alex Jones at 10.
No, certainly not. I was still reading children's books. All I know is that it's not a nefarious operation.
No.
I've talked to my dad quite a bit about his time there, and I have some memories
of Dad.
It.
Hey, Dad.
Hey. Dad?
You eugenicist?
Nah, busted.
Ah.
So anyway, we're going to take a quick break with this next clip where Alex just talks about how the globalists hate people with weapons.
Over the weekend, The Statesman, USA Today, New York Times, the Austin Chronicle, I turn on television, bad cops, cops are bad, cops are bad, cops are going to rob you, cops are going to kill you, cops are going to...
Alex talks about how cops are going to rob you all the time. He's very against eminent domain. He's very against... the seizures that you can make, police can make if they suspect you of a crime, stuff like
that. Yeah,
civil asset forfeiture.
Yeah, that should be super illegal.
So Alex complains about cops robbing you quite a bit. I don't know what he's complaining about.
And as much as I don't like some thug Yosemite Sam cop in a power trip telling me I can't videotape a demonstration.
Real quick, was Yosemite Sam a cop? I don't know if he was. I don't think he had a badge.
No, Yosemite Sam was not a cop.
I think he wasn't he like a minor?
I think he was just fucking, yeah, I think he was a minor.
He's a prospector
yeah,
of some
something
sort?
Along those lines, yeah.
I don't think he was a cop.
And threatening me, I get in their face and tell them I'm going to sue them, don't violate my First Amendment. But I'm against that person violating my rights and their rights. I am not going to just sit here and get manipulated into a civil war that's focused at the police. The globalists hate veterans. They hate people trained to use weapons. They hate local government. They hate the police. Everything they do shows it. And George Soros, just like he funded the internet takeover, funded the anti-cop movement. And I will not go along with that piece of trash. And I see through everything these people are doing. And I'm telling you, I just got chills. I really did. We are in so much peril right now. I mean, the enemy is moving on every front. And you can see their battle plan all over the place.
Oh,
we need to reform our legislatures. We need to reform our police. Everything bad. I'm talking 95% of the bad stuff the cops are doing is federal grants. Checkpoints, federal grants. Black uniforms, tasers, instant shooting, you know, no hesitation training, demonization of the patriots. It's all the globalists that have occupied the federal government trying to get the police to be basically their henchmen.
So a couple things. Checkpoints, generally speaking, are because they don't have any money and they're trying to
make
boost
money.
Quotas and trying to write pissant tickets and shit like that. That's not the feds coming down and being like, hey, make more checkpoints. That's we need to pay our budgets and the feds are not giving us enough money.
Right.
Beyond that, I think everyone has tasers. I don't know exactly what he's talking about. And generally speaking, it's not the federal police or the federal authorities who are coming in and teaching people, hey, go ahead and shoot people. It's the local cops end up shooting people, and then the feds come in and be like, no.
Don't shoot people.
We got to deal with this.
Right.
Now,
there's a reason that the DOJ investigates these cops. Well, and not least of which, the federal government doesn't give these cops all of this militarized bullshit. The cops buy it from them.
Right. And then,
which should be illegal.
And then the other piece, he's talking about demonizing the patriots. It's like, you need to be very careful because what they're talking about, the feds, are sovereign citizens.
Yeah.
If you want to lump your shit in with them, then you're going to have to take on what they do. And what they do is kill cops. For all his talk about, like, Black Lives Matter being all about cop killing and what have you, break down some stats on the number of attacks on police that are done by sovereign citizens. The number is much higher. And so when the feds are like, hey, you got to be careful about these sovereign citizens. They are very wild and they don't think that the government exists. They don't think you have any authority and they also don't carry ID.
Also, they don't think well.
They have guns, and they use them. So if the federal authorities want to come in and teach people how to de-escalate those situations, I think that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Also, I'm thrilled to report that Yosemite Sam is generally depicted as a prospector, outlaw, pirate, or cowboy. He's not a cop.
He was a pirate one time?
Yeah, apparently he did some time as a pirate.
I want that.
So, Jordan. In this next clip, Alex Jones is having a conversation with one climate expert, Lord Monckton. He comes in to talk for a little bit. They don't talk about the they do talk about the climate change stuff, but I've cut that out because it's stupid. And here's just a really dumb clip where they talk about Muslims.
No.
In closing on the subject, why won't the feminists that say a man wearing pants hurts women or that all sex between a man and a woman is rape, literally.
Who says that?
No one.
Why aren't they upset when radical Islamists sexually mutilate women or cut their heads off or kill Christians or put little girls into sex slavery? Why would the left, is radical Islam so sexy and chic? If you go to a leftist meeting, there are folks there just fawning after it. It's so sexy to be in a jihad slave pit.
This has always been the way that the media and the left are by instinct not democratic but totalitarian. And totalitarians will always tend to stand together and think as one.
Great.
That voice.
tricks saying, Alex Jones.
Saying anything infuriates me.
Yeah, it's bad.
The problem is, they're all totalitarians. Just by talking, Lord Monckton makes me angry.
One of the things that Alex
really... That posh fucking bitch.
One of the things that Alex really never takes into consideration is that, like... Or he knows this, but he never announces it, is like, Lord Monckton was a huge player in UKIP. Like, he's a really big part of the UK Independence Party.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I could never have guessed that.
Yeah, I think he was deputy in charge of it to, like, Farage, for a time. But I want to tell you a little bit more about Lord Monckton, because let's ignore that dumb bullshit.
Yeah.
I think we can dismiss it by saying that there are feminist organizations and people on the left who are actually, working against the things you're complaining about while you just score points pretending no one is working against them. But just some fun things I learned about Lord Monckton recently. So, Lord Monckton erroneously claims to be a co-recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize with Al Gore and the IPCC because he claims he sent them a letter pointing out something that needed to be fixed in a draft of their submission for the Nobel Peace Prize.
So he earned the Nobel Peace Prize along with them.
Yes, absolutely.
Gotcha.
This is not true. He has said it's a joke when asked about it, but it is still in his bio. One time back in 2012 at the UN climate talks in Qatar, he impersonated a Burmese delegate to crash the event and say that climate change isn't happening. He was thrown out and banned for life.
Good.
Yeah. So he also claimed that Margaret Thatcher spiked.
How did he try and do you think he tried to do an accent?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think he tried to do
he did? I actually watched the video of it. He says, like, assalamu alaikum.
Oh, no.
But also,
did he try and call it Myanmar still?
I don't know. I don't remember.
It sounds like something that an Oxbridge fuck like he would.
He might have. He also advocated that Margaret Thatcher spike the Argentine's water with mild bacillus so that the UK would have an easy win in the Falklands War. This would be a huge violation of the 1972 Biological Weapons Convention. He's also advocated for outlawing portions of the Quran. And he's claimed that he has a miracle cure that can handle pretty much everything. AIDS, HIV, the common cold, herpes, viruses, everything.
In his defense, that does sound like something Thatcher would do.
He has created this miracle cure, and he's applied for a patent for it every year from 2008 to 2013, at least. Probably since then, too. But he lets the patent lapse every year and then reapplies, so he never has to prove that it's actual thing. And then he scams people with it. Also, Lord Monckton, was a chief policy advisor of the Science and Public Policy Institute, a think tank operated by the Frontiers of Freedom Foundation. For years, where the data is available, between 2002 and 2007, ExxonMobil gave Frontiers of Freedom Foundation over $1 million.
Huh.
Interesting that he is against climate change. Also, where is this? This is really funny. He claims that he's a member of the House of Lords.
Is that why he calls himself Lord Monckton?
Yeah, but he technically did inherit the title from somebody.
Uh-huh.
But he claims that he's a House of Lord member of the House of Lords. But the House of Lords sent him a cease and desist letter telling him to stop telling people that he was a member of the House. They went to the extent that they posted the cease and desist letter on the Parliament's website.
That's fucking awesome.
Just so everybody can see it and be like, he is not with us. Lord Monckton is a consistent scam artist. I learned all this stuff. I'm like, oh, God.
If the House of Lords doesn't want you.
Not at all.
You gotta be really bad.
Yeah.
So Lord. Because they're all piles of shit.
Well, like in the last episode, we were learning about Roger Ver's history of scamming people. And again, now Lord Monckton has come up and we learn about his history of scamming people. Everybody Alex Jones has on is a con artist. They're all just people who can't go anywhere else. No one will have them because they've burned all their bridges. Now, in this next clip, you asked earlier, how's Alex going to deal with the fact that he can't side with Obama? Here's how he does it.
A lot of these calls are about Iran, Israel. I mean, if Israel hits Iran, it is going to be a big deal.
Sure. Agreed.
And that's, I'm just having trouble here because I'm not going to side with Obama. Everything Obama does is bad. And then to see Obama on the surface snubbing Israel, there's just major stuff afoot. Major stuff's going on. You can see that on every front. The power grabs, it's all over the top. I haven't plugged any products today, and we're an hour and 54 minutes in the broadcast. If you want to support this transmission, help get the word out, please tell your friends and family about the show.
Great. So that you did you that you were unfazed by
I,
that
no
one.
That one I saw coming a mile
okay.
away.
And his...
my hackles have been raised because we haven't heard an ad pivot yet, and I was like, when's it fucking coming?
Because he's too confused by where to land, and then also he's going on these weird diatribes about ethnic origins and shit. So he's like, I don't have time to plug.
Isn't that such a perfect summation of how the right views Obama as everything he does is bad. Doesn't matter.
We have to default disagree.
There is no possible way to compromise, to respect, to anything. Everything he does is bad.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
And it does feel like, and I don't think I can prove this, but it feels like they're working backwards. You know what I'm saying? Like, they started with this, we can't agree on anything.
Right. And so then they have positions.
Well, then they filled in the blanks, and Alex is really great at this. Like, he's justified not agreeing with him by being like, well, of course, it's because he has a fake dad who's a socialist spy for the Soviets, who's indoctrinated him in cultural Marxism, and he's a Jew, but also trying to create a caliphate here so he can take over and
right.
Islamic rule reign in the United States. So he's worked backwards to try and justify the never agreeing, as opposed to being like, maybe a lot of these con men I keep talking to are wrong. All of my guests are con men and psych warfare guys.
Yeah. Yeah, but Obama's evil.
Or just straight up crazy. Some of them, oh God, some of these dicks. Anyway, we get to another caller now. And this caller is interesting. Not very interesting, but they have a twang.
And looking at the Six Days War after they established their state, I mean, to my eyes, that was just a godsend. I mean, God-induced.
You're talking about Providence.
Like the Jewish God? Or
most definitely. I mean, they were surrounded then, and look what they accomplished by themselves.
Did not do it by themselves.
That's what I think.
Well, that's right. And you know, that's why people say... you know, go in and take over Israel, hand over to people. It's not going to happen. They have nuclear weapons, and they've got Providence. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Yes. Yeah. No. It's important to have both of those things.
Right.
Sure, nuclear weapons are great. But if you don't have the Providence of the Christian God, not Yahweh, because we're against that shit.
The Tetragrammaton.
Yeah.
Don't even say Yahweh.
God.
So now we get back.
So fucking stupid.
So this is where I wanted to get back to the nationalism.
They won the Six-Day War without any help?
No one helped.
Without any help?
No one
helped. Are you kidding?
No one helped.
They didn't have the most advanced military technology that we gave them?
No idea what you're
Couldn't possibly have had any help. Are you shitting me?
No idea.
They were fighting people on horseback. Fucking insane. What is... Why? How?
Providence.
How?
Providence.
Oh, it was Providence. You're right.
So I want to get back to this because Alex earlier was talking about how everybody views the world as like we're the center of it, which is this weird nationalism. And now he's going in and saying that Israel has Providence, which is divine right, basically.
Right. But from the Christian
God. And so I wanted to read a little bit here from something that Howard Zinn wrote in 2005 in an essay called The Scourge of Nationalism. I think it's very pointed, and I think it's important. Our citizenry has been brought up to see our nation as different from others, an exception in the world, uniquely moral, expanding into other lands in order to bring civilization, liberty, democracy. That self-deception started early. When the first English settlers moved into Indian land in Massachusetts Bay and were resisted, the violence escalated into war with the Pequot Indians. The killing of Indians was seen as approved by God, the taking of land as commanded by the Bible. The Puritans cited one of the Psalms, which says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee, the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of earth for thy possession." When the English set fire to a Pequot village and massacred men, women, and children, the Puritan theologian Cotton Mather said, "It was supposed that no less than 600 Pequot souls were brought down to hell that day. It was our manifest destiny to overspread the continent allotted by Providence," an American journalist declared on the eve of the Mexican War. After the invasion of Mexico began, the New York Herald announced, quote, "We believe it's part of our destiny to civilize that beautiful country." It was always supposedly for benign purposes that our country went to war. We invaded Cuba in 1898 to liberate the Cubans and went to war in the Philippines shortly after, as President McKinley put it, to civilize and Christianize the Filipino people. As our armies were committing massacres in the Philippines, at least 600,000 Filipinos died in a few years of conflict. Elihu Root, our Secretary of War, was saying, "The American soldier is different from the other soldiers of all other countries since the war began. He is the advance guard of liberty and justice, of law and order, and of peace and happiness."
Nothing says liberty like massacre.
Nationalism is given a special virulence when it's blessed by Providence. That's the point I wanted to really drive home.
Hey, God says we're the best.
Whenever you mix those two things together, which Alex Jones does all the time, you get into a really murky territory where you're not only like, I'm the best, it's God says I'm the best. And that's a fucked up position to put yourself in because there's other countries in the world.
Hey, nah. Nah, nope. There aren't even other people. And if there are, and they don't believe in God, well, they didn't. They're not protected by Providence.
Well, Israel has Providence, but he also
God
is saying that they're the 51st state.
Nothing I know. If there's one thing I know about Jesus, it's that one, he was a secret Muslim.
Right.
And two, he loved massacres.
Totally.
Huge thing. Can they just not call themselves Christians? Like, I think it'd be fine if they called themselves weird biblical literalists. Or maybe Old Testament motherfuckers. Or, fucking assholes. That's what they should call themselves.
It seems most fitting. So it's kind of ironic that Alex goes to break with that and then comes back from break a little bit later with this.
It's really a different type of talk radio. We pioneered simulcasting television, not just a webcam. We neurotically show video clips, news articles, legislation, documents to back up our claims. We have a wide spectrum of guests on who don't even ideologically agree with each other 90%. Or 80%, but who genuinely want freedom and have shown their experts in their field.
And like all David Duke.
And all seem to be angry white men. With a couple exceptions.
Sent me a bucket of poop.
Charlotte Iserbeat. There's a couple of women.
A real discussion, a real debate.
$25
for
a postcard, by the way.
Phyllis and if you look at how the Democratic Party especially attacks families, attacks anybody who's good, tries to deindustrialize the country, they really want us on our knees so they can then dictate the terms of our surrender. And they just hate this country because we were a Christian nation. We were a free market nation. If they bring us down, they have the whole world.
Alex can't prove that. He says he documents everything. He has like, we've got this, this broadcast like this so we can compulsively put up documents.
Neurotically.
And all this. Neurotically.
Yes.
He can't even prove any of his claims. And I watch this shit. Like, we're primarily an audio medium, but I watch the fucking things. Whenever they flash stuff up on screen, it's just a Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about...
Do they zoom in so you can read it?
I can't wait till we do this endgame thing, because I can't wait to explain to you and our listeners just how bad Alex Jones's bibliography is. In terms of citing sources for the claims that he makes, holy shit. It wouldn't fly in a junior high class. Quite frankly, if it were an essay.
Yeah.
So the idea that he's like, we neurotically document everything with all this court, total bullshit. Total bullshit. So at this point, he has a guy named Joel Gilbert on, he's a documentarian. I believe he's the guy who made Dreams of My Real Father, which is the documentary in heavy quotes.
Oh, that one's about Obama.
Yeah, that his real dad is Frank Marshall Davis, a
right.
Soviet propagandist pornographer.
Also Jewish.
and secretly a Muslim.
Yep.
I mean, look, I've watched part of the documentary. I just turned it off because I was very bored. But, like, I find it to be troubling.
Why, Dan?
I just think I when you hear these people talk about why they think Frank Marshall Davis is his dad, it really makes me uncomfortable, because they talk about like Obama's dad doesn't look like him, but he looks a lot like Frank Marshall Davis.
Right.
And you're like, this feels real weird, because I think Obama does have a resemblance to his dad.
I don't care.
Right, but I mean, even that argument seems racially...
Exactly. Really?
And I just, I don't even want to engage with that. And then the only other evidence.
Nicolas Cage kind of looks like a pineapple now. I don't think his dad
Coppola?
Was a pineapple.
One of the Coppolas was a
yeah,
pineapple?
Yeah, exactly.
One of the other things is like all of the evidence that they bring forth is just like all this circumstantial bullshit about like his mom was friends with Frank Marshall Davis. So like who cares? Nothing is concrete. It makes me very uncomfortable. And so this guy, this Joel Gilbert, has made a new documentary that he's pimping, and it's called There's No Place Like Utopia, and about how all of Obama's promises and all of the left's promises are they want to tell you that there's a utopia that they're going to provide, and it ain't coming.
I thought it was about how Frank Marshall Davis was Judy Garland's dad as well.
That's the next documentary. That's forthcoming. Anyway, here we go.
No Place Like the Dreams of My Father.
What I found whenever I've been around socialist and communist at events over the decades, I've been around a lot of them at all sorts of behind-the-scenes Democratic conventions.
Sure.
They're really like criminal bank robber types, like felon types I've been around before that are really creepy and have bad will towards people. And right. Behind the scenes, they'll go, listen, when we take over, we're going to kill everybody. We want blood. They really are demonic villains. But
they
then
don't.
In the service, it's like, I'm liberal. Oh. I mean, they are just so sick.
Right. The entire program of progressivism is based on disinformation. And that's what the Democrat Party and the White House engages in today. I said the unemployment is 5%. There's voter suppression, a completely made up story.
Bullshit. That is a real, that's a fun thing to say when, all the studies have been done, shown ridiculous gerrymandering.
People I know you being, are, but what am I?
People being stricken from voter rolls.
I know you are, but what am I,
Dan? Their name is the same as someone who's committed a felony, that sort of thing. There's a really interesting thing that you can do, and that is you can look into the...
Also, felons should have the right to vote.
I think you get into a different argument about, like, non-violent felons, especially.
Yeah,
I think violent felons, maybe. Murderers, maybe. You don't get a vote.
I don't know.
Maybe I don't know.
I think you can murder somebody and still have a relevant opinion on the minimum alternative income tax.
I agree that there are crazier people who have not murdered than
right?
some people who have murdered. But I don't know. I don't know. So anyway,
I would rather O.J. Simpson vote. Then Alex Jones.
So Gilbert here is talking about disinformation on a disinformation broadcast, which is fun. But if you want to get into real information, you can look at the entirety of Obama's presidency because it's over. It's over now.
Oh, you can look at all of it.
And you can look at what happened under his presidency.
They took our guns.
Well, if President Obama had been able to better address Americans' widespread persistent economic anxiety, Donald Trump might not be celebrating his inauguration today.
Almost certainly.
But anyone with enough money to invest in the stock market had plenty to celebrate under the outgoing president. U.S. stocks rose an average of 12% a year during Obama's two terms, according to S&P Global. This is an article out of Fortune magazine. That ranks Obama third among the 12 men who have served as president since World War II based on the performance of the S&P 500. Only Bill Clinton, under whom stocks rose 14.9% a year over 8 years, and the late Gerald Ford, 18.6% annualized during his 29 months, because he's only in office 29
yeah.
months, presided over better markets. So if you...
Ford doesn't count.
No, but so
Ford doesn't count.
Bill Clinton, Obama,
right.
The two best in terms of the stock market. Now we don't need to talk about all the, that's not really a reflection of the actual economy.
I know. I was restrained. I didn't say anything.
I know. But you want to look at even more numbers. This is out of Fact Check. The economy gained a net 11.5 million jobs in Obama's 8 years. The unemployment rate dropped to below historical norms. Average weekly earnings for all workers were up 4.1% after inflation. The gain was 3.7% for just production and non-supervisory employees. After-tax corporate profits also set records, as did stock prices. The S&P 500 index rose 166%. The number of people lacking health care insurance dropped by 15 million. Premiums rose, but more slowly than they were before.
Right.
When Alex wants to play this cheap fucking game about how premiums rose during Obama's administration, I believe it was something to the tune of like 46%. They rose 90% during George W. Bush's term. So, the only thing that you really end up with that's kind of like negative stuff for Alex is that home prices rose and home ownership rate dropped, which is kind of because in 2009 that was a big part of why the economy tanked. And we're still in a recovery in terms of that, which may be coming, maybe not.
Almost certainly won't happen.
Also, illegal immigration declined during Obama's 8 years. 35% fewer people were caught trying to enter the U.S. from Mexico during that time. Also, Alex Jones should be thrilled. Production of handguns rose 192% to a record level.
Well, a black man was president. You got to buy as many guns as you can.
The murder rate dropped to the lowest on record in 2014, then rose slightly and finished around the same rate as when Obama took office.
Well, a black man was president. You got to conserve those bullets.
I guess so.
You might need them.
So, like all of the stuff that he's talking about, all of this misinformation he's saying is misinformation. It's
right.
The cold hard facts are the standards by which they measure things, which I don't necessarily agree are all the real things we should be basing all of our measurements on, were so much better thanks to the policies that Obama put forth.
Right. But billionaires didn't get as big of a tax break.
Yeah, that's
so you gotta get a billionaire back in office, man.
Yeah, I guess so. So anyway,
it's so disappointing. Like, I don't even.
I'm just glad Alex Jones documents all his claims. I'm just glad that he has guys on saying all this bullshit that's not true.
It's just such a, if you repeat it loud enough, dumb people think it's true.
Totally.
It's so frustrating.
I think Hitler had a quote about that. Huh. Anyway, another clip from Joel Gilbert here. It's a whole lot of hot bullshit.
So the Obama agenda, unfortunately, according to from Obama's point of view, is unfolding very, very successfully. He's divided the country along economic lines.
I agree. Obama has been a devastatingly successful globalist socialist. And then you've got the big money banks funding him, thinking that once there's a tyranny, everybody's fighting for the Ring of Mordor. All these different special interest groups. They're all supporting tyranny because they think they're going to get greater power out of it, when instead it's destroying stability and destroying a future for humanity. I mean, it's so sick.
Unfortunately, people don't realize that the utopia on Earth is America before Barack Obama, America as a constitutional government with free markets, free speech, limited government. This is as close to utopia as we can get on Earth.
Look what our country produced. Most of the patents, most of the devices, higher standard of living, highest rates of savings. And as soon as we left free market, we become a hell pit. Most unhealthy, highest debt, highest,
exactly.
I mean, all sorts of problems.
Exactly. But Obama has to lie about it. Michelle
He's
Obama, Barack Obama, now the entire Democrat Party. They cannot justify radical change if everything is going great. If we have free markets and independence and a great economy, they have to tell us that everything is broken. Immigration is broken. Everything is unfair. Everything is unequal. And their solution is give us the power and we'll make it right for you.
Do you realize what they're doing? They're just externalizing their own psyche.
Yeah.
That's entirely what that is.
Yeah.
The idea that, like, Obama has to lie about all this stuff to justify the things he's doing.
Right.
That's what you're doing in order to justify your bigotry.
Yeah, but if you're doing it, that's why they have to believe this stuff, is because they cannot accept that other people don't do what they do.
They don't think that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, granted, Obama...
They cannot accept that.
Obama did suck in a lot of ways. In many ways. But you know what? He was not a secret socialist trying to destroy the government.
He was the exact opposite, which is why we're in the situation we are now.
Well, I mean, if he was less competent, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now. The crisis of 2009 would have extended and probably gotten way worse. We're in the position we're in because of the competence and great leadership.
Yes.
But we'd be in a much better position were he some sort of a bizarre
FDR.
Secret socialist.
Yeah, that's true.
There would have been so many more public works programs. There would have been, you know how many fucking bridges need to be restored?
There would have been massive debt forgiveness.
Absolutely.
That would have been the biggest thing.
Yeah, we could.
You want more people to buy homes? Forgive college loan debt.
Now, to this stupid idea of, it wouldn't paint a utopia, even if he was some sort of a socialist firebrand or whatever. But this idea that there's a utopia that we had before Obama.
Yeah, which one?
What the fuck is he talking about?
Which one? Name a utopia before Barack
Obama.
So
late 2008?
Is that the one?
Well, I mean, isn't that what he's saying? Like, Obama came in and destroyed everything?
I guess.
That must be what he's talking about.
I mean, I'm sure it didn't have anything to do with George Bush's massive tax cuts. I'm sure there's no way that the fucking deregulation of everything under his fucking reign. I'm sure there's no fucking way that any of this shit wasn't utopian until Obama took it over.
Right.
Fucking insane.
It's absolute
nonsense.
When,
do you know when the country consistently had growth? Whenever a secret socialist was the president.
Or not as secret.
He wasn't as secret. He was almost assassinated by billionaires.
But, like, I think that...
And do you know why we had a secret socialist? Because whenever we had a complete free market, there was a massive stock market crash.
Yep.
Because of all of this shit, because of the deregulation of the stock market.
When
the same shit that is happening now that's going to lead to the next fucking crisis, which we obviously didn't learn anything from in 2007 whenever we had the last financial crisis, which we obviously didn't learn anything about when we had the last financial crisis in fucking 1987. Well, it's fucking insane. These people are so goddamn stupid. They're killing themselves, and in the process, they're killing all of us, and it is fucking driving me insane.
Clearly.
And the whole time that they're doing it, the whole fucking time they're doing it, they're saying that we're the ones at fault. I can't process information.
You should be able to process it.
I want to strangle people.
You should be able to process.
Not everybody.
You should be able to process it very simply, because it is just in this milieu of blaming the victim.
Yeah,
it's all of this stuff. These Chinese women who are coming over here to have their babies.
Ugh.
Blame them. Blame them.
Blame the poor for not picking themselves up by their bootstraps.
They don't work hard enough.
They're lazy. Sure, they have three jobs and work 60 hours a week.
Right.
But listen, that's laziness. If they were really working, they would be rich by now. Well, everybody knows that.
Blame Obama for things that you don't really need to criticize him for.
Oh,
and
man.
Don't talk about the things you do need to criticize him for.
There is nothing more polarizing than the way Obama treated people. It definitely wasn't the fucking Tea Party losing their goddamn minds to the point where there's a guy screaming, "You lie," at the president. And then Trump comes in and he's like, "Oh, people didn't clap for me, so they're treasonous." This is fucking insane.
Yeesh.
I hate them so much. That's the one thing.
Yeesh.
The biggest problem that I had with Obama is the same problem that I have with the Democratic Party since fucking Bill Clinton, which is this idea of, like,
moving to the right.
Well, let's compromise with them.
Yeah.
They're so far gone, they should be ignored.
Right.
There should be no conversation.
Well,
we can't communicate with people who say things like, "Everything Obama does is wrong." There's no communication. That's not a conversation. You cannot compromise with somebody who is absolutely abjectly refusing to even acknowledge that it's possible for you to do something good.
It's an impossible starting point to engage with, because once you join in on that conversation, you have to exert so much force to get any reasonable thing out of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't come to the table in a negotiation with, "I refuse to believe anything you say."
No.
Like, well, all right. Well, this is not going to go well.
Anytime there's like a profile or a piece that's like, we need to understand these people. It's like, no, we understand them.
Yeah.
We need to ignore these people.
Well, I think one of the problems was that, I don't think enough people, I think there were a lot of people who were sounding the alarm on this, and it's too bad that most people, and perhaps myself included, even I wasn't really paying attention as closely as I should have, but people didn't understand what was happening in terms of the Overton window being moved,
right,
while the people on the right were complaining about the Overton window moving to the left.
Right.
So they were moving it hard left.
As hard to the right as they can.
To the point now where we're in the situation that you were just screaming about, and that's acceptable on the right. That's very acceptable. There's think pieces about whether Sargon of Asgard is just some sort of merry YouTuber as opposed to a out-and-out racist white nationalist.
Yeah.
You have these conversations about whether these commentators are mainstream. Is Jack Posobiec a journalist? Like, these sorts of conversations shouldn't fucking be happening.
Right.
The idea that anybody, like, when Alex Jones had that charade of him getting press credentials, no one should have taken that seriously. Like, no one should have been like, are we going to think that Alex Jones is a journalist?
Oh, so you've been documented lying for your entire career? Well, definitely now is a good time to see if you're trustworthy.
It's important to pay attention to these people, but you have to treat them like what they are.
Yeah.
Like, you can't ever give any respect quite for, and I, now I sound like what you
Me.
Were just describing. But I would say that, like, in our year-long treatment of Alex, we've given him credit where credit's due. You know, the standard examples.
Yeah,
we had
two.
I think there have been a couple more.
In roughly...
No, because he's against drones, too. I'm against that.
Right,
he's,
that's true.
He's generally pro-peace, non-interventionist. But,
right.
But that goes out the window when Trump comes along.
Yeah.
But back in the day, I agreed with him a bit more in terms of war stuff. So, I mean, there are things that, like, I could come to the table with that in terms of, like, we agree on this and hope for some sort of a conversation. But you cannot. You cannot.
But you can't. Do you know why you can't, Dan? Because you're
That's
a liberal.
Weakness.
You're a liberal. So you come to the table and you say, hey, I agree with you. We shouldn't be fucking fighting these wars in Iraq. And he's going to be like,
I win.
Nah, you're wrong. You're wrong.
We should be fighting these wars.
He's a fucking moron.
You just flip it on him.
These people are so goddamn stupid.
Yeah, speaking of which, here's Alex Jones seeing a stimulus in the wild and completely misrepresenting it.
If you go to Whole Foods and places, a lot of nice folks work at Whole Foods. I'm not bashing Whole Foods. But you see the magazines and things. It's all about learning how to be poor, learning how to have less.
I would suggest that probably those magazines are a response to people having less. And like,
could be.
How do you be thrifty? How do you live on a budget?
Yeah.
As opposed to making that an attractive way to live.
Right.
Anyway, that's catering to a market as opposed to creating. Hey,
it's
cool to be poor.
It's a trite comparison. It's a trite thing to say at this point, but,
he's just stupid.
You should not celebrate, GoFundMe campaigns finally making enough money to get somebody to pay for their cancer treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a celebration.
Nope.
That's the saddest thing in the world.
Quite sad. Anyway, this is the last clip. It continues from there, and then Alex gets into a call that he accidentally reveals something very fucking weird at the end of.
While they charge so much, you know, Whole Foods, whole paycheck.
Nice.
This is the mentality. You can't have air conditioning. You can't have a car.
Bah.
You're landing in Air Force One.
Bah.
Let's go to some phone calls. Steve in Virginia, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We're a longtime Prison Planet subscribers. We really
Gross.
Love the show. I wanted to say something about Netanyahu. You know, it's a sad day in America when these useless people in Congress stand up and applaud someone who, in I think 2002, I have a quote. As far as I know, this is accurate. Netanyahu said, "America can dry up and blow away with the wind when we have finished with it." America can dry up and blow away with the wind when we have finished with it. Now, that's not the quote from a friend. And I think.
Let me ask you this. Do you have video of that? I mean, what's the source of that? Because I see these quotes. I see these quotes about myself that I didn't say. I mean, what's the source of that?
We got it on the internet here. I have it says,
the internet
Veterans
here.
Today. It says Netanyahu. For President of America, Veterans Today.
Yeah, you know, that's a great named website, but I'm just gonna leave it at that. I mean, that's considered the source of that.
Real quick,
what is fucking happening?
This clip isn't done, but just for fun, just a spoiler alert for the Endgame documentary, Alex Jones highlights like at least four quotes that are fake.
From that?
No.
Oh.
That are straight up fake.
Of course.
And if you look at the bibliography, he has no citing for them because they weren't said by anybody.
Of course.
So the idea that he's getting petty here about like, where's this Netanyahu quote coming from? Oh, Veterans Today? Yeah, fuck them. That's ridiculous. He is all over the place. But we have not yet gotten to the very weird admission.
But I'd like to, what's their source of it? Where'd it come from?
Their source, do you have their source on it? I'm not sure. I don't have it at hand. It was
CIA.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the story is that it was an ex-CIA person who overheard him in a conversation.
Yeah, you know that site criticizes me, too, right?
You know, I did not know that.
I mean, I don't care. It's just, I don't mind. Please, more of it.
Hold on. You do.
It's just that a lot of these sites, you know, claim I'm an Israeli agent. I've never been to Israel. I've never, I was basically approached by a famous member of Israeli intelligence who came to my office and was a little bit threatening. But other than that, I've been, I have no connections to Israel.
That is relevant.
What is happening? Why did you say other than that? Sure, I was threatened by an Israeli intelligence officer.
Sure, a famous agent of Mossad came to my office and got slightly threatening.
But I don't have any other connection to Israel other than that.
Did you report that to the FBI, Alex? Did you, like, now we have two instances. He's talked to Russian intelligence and Israeli intelligence.
See, now
and
that
admitted
makes,
it on air.
That makes both less believable, though. Mm-mm. Yeah, I think that makes both. Because he's,
no.
He's talking about 2002. What is Israeli intelligence doing going to
fucking...
Did he
say 2002?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that, but nah, I believe it. I believe him.
Okay.
I believe him.
Wait,
think...
or was that when... No, that's when Netanyahu supposedly said...
Yeah, I don't think he put a time frame on when Mossad came
to
visit.
You're right.
I believe him. The way he said that is incredibly in line with Alex Jones just throwing something out.
That's
true. He would have festooned it with so many more adjectives.
So there were three guys in the hot tub,
right.
And one of them was an Israeli intelligence officer.
He would have told the story six different ways for a week if this was real.
Yeah.
Or if this was not real.
If this were not real, yeah.
So, I mean, the way he described the interaction on RT that he thought was an interview, I believe that, and I believe what he's saying here. It's not in his lie patterns.
That's true.
I've listened to him every day for over a year now. I think I can get a sense of when it looks like he's... It's almost like I have an EKG on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can see in his face when he's grasping for something and when he's like, this happened.
It's kind of interesting that you have never been interviewed by any of these people because you're literally, at this point, the world's foremost Alex Jones expert.
It's also interesting that no one responds to my fucking emails when I send them to various publications saying, hey, Alex is probably committing a crime here. But, oh well.
Boring! Give me a meme!
We need to make
meme
a,
me!
We need to make a meme out of it somehow. Yeah. Anyway, that's the next thing I'd like people to pay attention to. Alex Jones has been in contact with Israeli intelligence. I feel like I don't know what it, is that the Hatch Act? What's the act where you got to report that shit?
I have no idea.
I don't either. But there's some law where it's like you got to tell somebody about that.
Probably a good
idea. Can't be in touch with spies,
or at the very least, report that you're a foreign agent.
Anyway, that brings us to the end of this very weird episode where Alex is all over the place as it relates to Israel. I don't know if we figured out exactly where he landed on it.
I don't know if he figured out exactly where he landed on
it. He's on the wrong side of stuff. I know that.
Yes.
But I don't know.
In a nebulous way.
Yeah, yeah. In a sort of holistic way.
Right.
He's wrong.
Where you can pin him down, you know he's wrong.
Yeah, and the places where you can't really pin him down, you're like, why are you even talking about this? Why are you getting into ethnic origins?
If you are walking the tightrope of talking about Israel, he fell down real hard.
If you are in a conversation like this, and you say, true Jew, you have lost.
Good point.
You're not gonna come out of this unscathed.
By which I mean European Jew who moved to the Middle East and then got ruined by all of these African people. Oh wait,
Arabs are a hybrid.
Oh God.
Anyway, Jesse, thank you so much for contributing to the show and making us go through this slightly uncomfortable. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
That's what Alex forgot to say.
Yes, your birthday will be coming up. Happy birthday to you on March 3rd.
Got a month
or
so.
You know, don't, if there's one thing that we've learned about Israel, don't. Just don't.
Anyway, if you'd like to find out more about the show, we have a website, knowledgefight.com.
You can follow us on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight.
Correct. Also on Facebook.
And go to iTunes. Tell your friends.
For all of you who are still listening now, I assume you're interested in the show. So we've weeded out all the people who are
Johnny-come-latelys. Who give up after the plugs.
So at this point, if you're still listening, I have a special initiative. This is the Avengers initiative I'd like to propose. So I've come to a position where I believe that we are not going to make forward progress in the project that we are engaged in without expansion. And it's very difficult to expand without resources in terms of like buying ads and stuff like that. But what we can do is encourage our listeners to post about us on message boards. if you are on other podcasts message boards or on Reddit or anything like that, please help get the word out, post something about us. And if you do, I'm going to say this. I'm creating a very long, very special drop of Alex Jones saying ridiculous shit that will be exclusive only for the people who send me at knowledgefight@gmail.com a snapshot of you posting about us on someone else's message board, trying to get the word out, because I love the listeners that we have, and it's great that people are listening, but we got to find a way to widen this tent. We got to get the word out.
Yeah.
And we're shit at it. We are so bad.
Yeah, so for the first time this weekend
at,
doing shows.
Zanies.
Yeah, I sold buttons and told people about the podcast.
I like to imagine you did like a 5-minute thing on stage.
No.
We got buttons. I'm going to weave it into an old joke.
My merch bit was terrible. It was, I have a podcast. I'm sorry. I have buttons. I'm sorry.
It's a good bit.
Closing bit.
Okay. That's standard road stuff.
Yeah, I'm not
good
but
that's
at
really
it.
Cool, though, that people were interested, and that's awesome. I hope they tune in and what have you. But
it was soul-crushing to stand at a merch table.
I can only imagine.
It was awful.
I did it when I was in – I was out on the road with Bill Squire.
Uh-huh.
I hung out at the booth with him, and it was – oof.
Not good.
You got to do it. You got to do it if you want to make that road money.
Oh, yeah.
But be that as it may, please, if you like the show, how much better would it be if there were 10 times as many of us?
Yeah, that's true.
So if you can help get the word out, we would
appreciate it. Have you seen the My Favorite Murder community? Those guys are crazy together. Yeah. They all meet. There have been marriages that have happened because they liked My Favorite Murder.
Oh, yeah, we'll have meetups.
Here's the thing.
We've met a couple listeners.
Yeah, if you want to get married, wait, is that how that works?
That's what Alex Jones actually says, and it makes me very
That's
uncomfortable.
True. That's true.
He says, but wear our shirts. You know, sometimes people go out in public, they wear an InfoWars shirt, and they meet their future wife.
Also, listen, if you need a gift for this Valentine's Day that's going to make you fuck better,
right?
Buy a button.
Buttons.
Put it
all
right on your
buttons.
Dick. It vibrates. I don't know. I'm done. I'm bad at the merch
bit.
I do
not think the button works as a cock ring. Don't sell it that way. But anyway, if you do that, you'll get a ridiculously long, weird drop of Alex saying fucked up stuff. And if you don't want to...
Do not use it as your ringtone if you are at work.
If you don't want to do that, I also understand and just appreciate you listening.
Yeah,
so don't think that...
We love all of you so much.
Anyway, Jordan... Who's on your mind today to call out as a
pile
of garbage?
You know, that's an interesting thing. Today,
I want to give a sub one.
I haven't really paid too much attention to anybody other than the fucking guy who
Porter?
Was... Yeah.
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 We'll use him. But I also want to give a sub fuck you
to
John Rappaport, because he called in sick on Thursday.
Fuck you, John Rappaport.
For old time's sake.
Yeah.
But also, hey, Porter, go fuck yourself, you piece of shit.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.